Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Quite a few things that I want to talk about today. One is the Colorado shooting and the propaganda push around that whole deal. I want to talk about the Died Suddenly movie and the PSYOP claims around that. Then also, I just today saw this Jimmy Dore about Balenciaga pushing a BDSM bear on children. I want to discuss a little bit about the Missouri lawsuit and Anthony Fauci being deposed. And is there one other thing that I wanted to talk about? What was it? Let's see. I think that might be it. Mom's coming on in a little bit to talk about, actually, I'm not sure what we're talking about in the Good News Report today. But she's here now, so let's bring Mom in.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Glad to be here. Hello.
Thanks for being here. We just need, we're just waiting for Lily to jump on.
Okay. And that's fine. We could talk about the peach tree.
Okay. What
just
about
kidding.
The peach tree?
I'm pretty bad. So that's part of that, you know, keeping things sustainable. You have to work on them. And besides, you remember what a booger it was to pick the peaches? If you get all those little pain in the neck ones at the bottom, it makes it easier to pick the next year. So that'll be good. Did you tell your listeners you were going to talk about the movie Died Suddenly?
Well, I put it in the group chat. I'm not sure if she saw it.
Well, I actually, your listeners, is did you mention that in your list of things that we were going to talk about today?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we did.
Okay.
So, you know, since we watched it this weekend, it's funny. So, we do a movie every year for Thanksgiving while we're cooking. And this year we did the Died Suddenly documentary, which, you know, was heavy, right? Strangest thing about it, and we will get in detail, about what was covered in the documentary, but the strangest thing that I noticed was a lot of people called it a PSYOP afterwards. And that was weird to me, and of course they always have to jump in and with the whole, it's a PSYOP the same way that Alex Jones is a PSYOP, right?
Yes. And so when you say a bunch of people, who would you be talking about? Where would they make those comments? On Facebook or Twitter
on
or
Facebook,
where?
Yeah. On Facebook, and you know, and it's weird. These are quote unquote truthers that we're talking about, you know, saying that. And this is something that I think that we all should be aware of because we've seen it happen before. But basically, they're saying that it's a PSYOP intended to make truthers look stupid.
Heard that one before, and I'm trying to remember the last an example of when they pulled that crap.
Alex Jones.
Right. Right.
There's also some stuff going on around pedophilia that, you know, that has the same things to it. Like for instance, putting out there things about Donald Trump. And, you know, that's a little bit more intricate, but, you know, putting out fake pictures of people, of celebrities, and saying, well, there it is right there. Clearly photoshopped pictures of celebrities saying, well, there it is. Look, they're child molester. Lily's with us. Let's let her in.
Yes. Be safe is the word that I keep
hearing. Hello, love. How are you?
Hey, I am okay. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I know you're struggling with a little cold, but I really, really appreciate you being here.
No, I love you, and I feel okay. It's just, I think I'm so against masks, but I should have probably worn one, though, when I was cutting up that flooring, and I just didn't think about it. So I'm not sick. I just think I breathed in too much of that stuff.
You know what's weird is that my husband and I were talking about that just this morning, or no, last night, because I have a mask, you know. I have one mask in my house that I haven't used, and I will use it if we have lots of smoke from a fire, or if I'm, you know, like sanding something, or, you know, putting in new flooring and things like that. If there's lots of mold around where I am, I might wear one. If there's a lot of dog hair and I'm sweeping and mopping, I might wear one. There are reasons to wear them. So it's funny. You're like, yeah, maybe I should have.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of knew that I should, but I'm a bit stubborn, actually quite a bit stubborn. And I just wanted to get it done, and I didn't, you know, and I really badly didn't want to go and spend money to go buy one, because
right.
I just don't think that the places that are mass manufacturing them right now deserve, you know, me to spend my money. And I know it's stupid because it's not expensive and it's just one dumb mask, but it's fine. I'm just paying for my stubbornness now because my voice is just a little scratchy.
Oh, okay. Did you happen to see the Died Suddenly documentary?
I did.
Okay, and what are your thoughts on it?
I had mixed thoughts. So I thought it was very well done, and pretty comprehensive. I also, you know, a lot of what it discussed is stuff that we already knew and have been trying to tell people for the last couple of years. I do question a little bit, like, the timing, because I know that they cannot hide any longer, obviously, that all these people are dying, right? We've got 80 million people dead, according to VAERS, and I can't remember how many million adverse reactions, you know. And that's only 10% of what's been reported. So I do know
right.
that part of the timing could easily just be that they can't hide it. But, you know, they were so quick to take down anything else immediately, even on Rumble and BitChute, that we have put up, or other, you know, people in our, I would say people on our side or whatever have put up, right? But not that
mm-hmm.
one. You know, so I do question a little bit, like I'd have to do more research into the people that made it to see, you know, and I do wonder with agendas sometimes. I already know that some of the vaccinated people have, you know, issued apologies and would like to come to our side of things now. And some are, you know, very resentful with us, right, because we didn't get it, even though they thought it was for the greater good and we knew that it wasn't. And now...
Yeah.
They're injured and we're not, you know, and so I think that some of the, while the documentary was very good and while it is the truth, I think some of it, you know, is going to fuel some more division, right, between the people, and that can't necessarily be helped, right? I mean, there already is a division, you know, we are not
right.
willing to give amnesty without accountability on our side, right? And I am one of those people, like I do not want to give any kind of amnesty without accountability, so without someone at least saying, like, hey, I'm really sorry that we did all these awful things to you, you know, for all of this time.
Right.
And said horrible things and wished death upon you and, you know, supported agendas that murdered people and did all of these things. And we, you know, we wanted you to be put into internment camps, you know, and have your children removed. Like, I'm not willing to budge on that. And so
right.
I'm not faulting anyone, but I also know, you know, that they're not willing to budge on certain things, and that's okay. But it just, you know, I don't know what the answer is then to, like, bridging that. Well, I do know the answer, but I don't know that it will occur, right, into bridging that gap, which would be for them to, you know, just say, hey, I'm sorry, and then I forgive you, right? Like, apology accepted, don't do it again. You do it again, I'm not forgiving
exactly.
you next time. But
exactly.
right, like
right
I was wrong and
pandemic.
I was misled. And then, Yeah, and then realizing, okay, these people all lied, right? Like all of the media, all of the, almost all of the doctors and nurses that didn't get fired or quit lied. The government officials, the health officials, everybody lied, and then not to trust them again, right? That, I think, would bridge this gap of division between us. Then we could be on the same side and realize we have a common enemy. But, you know, they're already ramping up Marburg, and they've got ground zero for Marburg now, and they've got, you know, whistleblowers in the health, in the CDC and World Health Organization, you know, like saying, and I, you know, I'm leery to trust them too much, right? But they're saying, like, we're setting this up. We already knew they were going to set up the next thing, you know, they already tried with monkeypox and they failed, you know, and so they just keep trying. So I think it's really important that the people that did fall for the government stuff this time, you know, take a good hard look at why and how and not fall for it the next time, because I think that there's a very good chance that, especially if it is Marburg, that the next thing that they pretend is going to kill everyone is going to be even more frightening to some people than COVID, right? Because COVID's worn off now. Most people are not afraid of it to the extent that they were, which means, you know, you've got to have some other terrifying, horrible, deadly thing.
Man.
And it's got to be worse for a lot of reasons, right? It's got to be worse because people are pissed off about COVID. It's got to be worse because they've got to, you know, cover up and hide the fact that there is no economy any longer and inflation is so bad that people can't afford food. The housing market's about to collapse worse than 2008. They've got to hide all of that, right? And all of the information coming out about Hunter Biden's laptop, about Biden, Joe Biden himself and his dealings with China. Like, there's all this stuff. You know, people aren't scared of Russia the way that I think they wanted them to be. And so,
true.
You know, they're going to have to really ramp this one up to be some terrible thing. So, you know, I just think it would be great if the people that did fall for it, like, we don't hate any of these people, right? We just want them to backtrack what they did and apologize for what they did and not do it anymore. And then we'll accept them again. And then, you know, just realize that we have a common enemy, you know, and we don't have to fight anything, but we need to build.
Right, right. And exactly. Now, okay, going back to the documentary, I would like to know where they're getting their miscarriage information. As far as I know, in the clinical data that Pfizer gave, it was about a 40% miscarriage, but the movie quoted 80% miscarriage. You know, these are minor things, but, you know, please explain it to me like I drive alone in my car with a mask on, you know, like dumb it down a little bit for me. Where are you getting the 80% miscarriage information? And I wouldn't be surprised if COVID or if Pfizer was lying about their safety data. They did, you know, they tried to hide it. So, you know, that's one thing. And then a few people are questioning the blood clots. So, you know, why don't we all go and call our local, you know, funeral homes and asked about their experience with these blood clots. It's, you know, it's just basic investigative journalism that we could all be doing, you know, as citizen journalists to rest some minds about the information in the video. Because like I said, people are really saying that this is a psyop, this video, this documentary is a psyop to make truthers look stupid. And this is not the first time that we've seen things like this. So, you know, I think that we probably should do our due diligence and, you know, and see what's going on, you know, what investigate a little bit. Just, you know, that's just my thought on it.
Agreed.
But
and, you know, if we've learned anything
here.
From.
Okay, but I want to address something Lily said that was very important, okay? And it has to do with sort of the overview of what I've been howling about for, good Lord, months. Years, okay. Lily's point that they didn't take this one down. First, it's on Rumble, okay. It's not YouTube. I heard you make the comment that they quickly take things down off of Rumble and BitChute. still as well. So that's a very valid question that you asked. Why hasn't that one been taken down? I do know they had, what's it called? Is it called DS attack? I don't know what DS stands for. When it first went up, it got, they tried to hit Rumble. But that's a really good question. And yes, Danielle, to your point, there's a bunch of stuff in there that could be fact-checked. Okay, again, back to that original point that I always make. The news media knows this stuff, and it is a blackout.
Yeah.
There's people dying on television, passing out, newscasters. They have video of newscasters just collapsing. And yet they're still, quote unquote, hiding it. No one's talking about it. Like, which, you know, you and we all know that the media is the enemy of the people. But, I mean, just how long, how far can they go without reporting this stuff? We know it's happening. It's obvious. They can't hide it forever. So that's my question to you, both of you. I'd like to hear your comment. How long before they have to talk about these vaccines and what they're doing to people? They're killing people. That movie, Lily, even though I knew from the very beginning, let me ask you a question, Lily. When did you make your decision to not get the vaccine? What was it that cautioned you that prevented you from getting it?
I knew that they were going to try. Well, okay, I didn't know maybe for sure, but I predicted and was pretty certain that they were going to push a vaccine that I didn't want before they ever came out and said there was one, and I had made my decision then. The first thing I really read about it that I knew I didn't want, I can't remember if it was my research of graphene oxide or it was my research of, you know, that's in the DARPA hydrogel, or if it was in my research of the luciferase, because I think I found both of those things out about the same time. But it would have been, you know, like those two things that solidified for sure that I would rather die. Like, I remember when they said that they were going to bring the military door to door to give the vaccine to people. And you know, that was the only time I got into fear, right? Like, I was not afraid of viruses, but I was a little afraid about that. And so that's when I made my decision very clearly with myself, you know, that if it comes to that, I am going to die before I'm going to have this vaccine.
Yeah.
And Mom, to
when
your
did
point,
you decide?
When did I decide? You know what? I was already waking up to the vaccine dangers, I guess, before COVID, right? And so they were that, you know, and the fact that, you know, that you can't be sued. Vaccine manufacturers can't be sued. All of these things. And then when they started pushing a vaccine at warp speed, that was a different kind of vaccine that had never been put in anybody's arm before, I knew that. You know, I was never even questioning whether or not I should get this, because everything was so upside down with the things that they were doing and the fact that they're trying to say that asymptomatic spread of a virus, you know, happened for the first time ever. That was a big deal for me. The fact that they were pushing masks when I knew that they were hurting people, that was a big deal for me. And so it was a culmination of all of these things that pretty early on, even before the vaccine was out, I was like, nah, I'm not doing anything that they're recommending with this virus. So, and some, I don't remember who it was, but one of you talked about how, you know, it's going to have to come out. They're going to have to eventually start to tell us about this stuff, because there's so many people that are eventually are going to have to admit it. just before the show, I read a Facebook post from a fairly reliable source that says study claims stress from, wait for it, anti-vaccine misinformation causing adverse effects. So no, I don't really think that they are going to have to eventually do this. They're just going to keep blaming it on us.
So wait, they're saying that us spreading pretend fake information about the vaccine is causing people who got the vaccine to have an adverse reaction to their vaccine.
Uh-huh. That's where they're going with that.
Do you ever,
and people,
did you,
people are actually going to fall for that? That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, because you know the push that they've been saying that, you know, stretching in the shower and gardening and climate change and weed and, you know, all of these things are those are the real dangers, right? Those are the real things. What was it? Sarcasm. That was my favorite one. I'm screwed if that one's real. But, you know, all of these things. And now they're like, okay, so now it's misinformation. And now they're going to say that not only is misinformation causing people to not get the vaccine, and that is causing, you know, danger. That's a danger to people's health. But now they're saying the misinformation is causing people who have already gotten it to be, what, psychosomatic or something, that it's in their head now, and now that's what's causing blood clots. It's beyond
that's actually
insane.
Perfect, because
yes.
If people believe that to be true, then that means that, you know, like, all of the spiritual stuff we say is true, right? Like, proves all of it, that we are co-creators, that we manifest our own reality, that whatever we believe is fact, that if I tell someone I can energy heal them remotely because I can, then I can. Which also means that if people decide to believe that their vaccine is detox out of their body and they're going to be okay as long as they don't take any more of them and their body can heal, then so be it. It'll happen.
Well, there
I
we go.
I love your optimism.
Me too.
Well, I just have to see, like, the flip side of everything, you know, because if they really do say that and stand by that, right, and convince people that that's a thing, then it also means that all of the things that we've been telling people that they think is real crazy then has to factually be true, right? Because it's not, like, you can't have one without the other.
I like your logic.
Down.
No, no, it's good. That's good.
Okay.
I think I've heard it all now, though. I mean, they can only stretch this just so far, right?
Oh yeah, yep. And of course, and while they're doing this, they're still censoring away. You know, everything that talks about COVID, you can't talk about on any kind of social media platform. You know, like, it's more of a reason for them to censor us. But the good news is that they can't really censor us for too much longer, especially when they're talking about how misinformation is part of the cause of all of these negative side effects. So, I was kind of like pounding my head on the table after I read that one, but maybe I'll choose to see this optimistically. Yes, exactly. This is why we love, this is one of the very many reasons we love Lily.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
I love you too. I might be crazy, but I'm at least a happy crazy.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Are.
Exactly. We're all the same kind of crazy then. Okay, so this is going to be kind of a choose-your-own-adventure show. I've got a couple videos queued up on a couple different subjects. And so I'd like, Lily, you're the co-host, I'd like you to pick one first. We can either talk about the Fauci, Missouri, I have a video queued up on that. Lawsuit. We can talk about the BDSM bear, which although the BDSM, the Balenciaga people did actually come out and apologize for the BDSM bear. And you know what? And the video that I have actually on this one is it's more of a visual, because like when they show the BDSM bears with like black eyes and stuff, you know, you're not going to be able to see that through the audio. But so I've got that one. Then I've got a video on the Colorado shooter and the pronouns on that, you know, because we were talking about that last week. We were a little bit afraid because we thought maybe, you know, Ty might have, well, at least Elizabeth was thinking that Ty would have been possibly involved, looking to make sure that he was safe. But that's a different city, so Ty's fine. But so, yeah, so we thought about a video about the Colorado shooter, BDSM bear, or the Fauci lawsuit. What do you think?
I mean, it's up to you guys. I think for the sake of just, like, a natural flow, it might be good to talk about Fauci since we have already been talking about died suddenly and the vaccines.
Okay. Let's do this. Hold on. Let me pull it up. Yeah, so this is – Jimmy Dore has just been on a good one lately about this stuff. So let's see. What did he say, Fauci? I'll stop it. Come on. Yeah, so the day after Fauci left public service, he was deposed for his misinformation about COVID. Fauci, no. Okay, we'll just say blah, blah, blah. Fauci, okay. I'll stop it. Come on. Okay, here we go. All right, 3, 2, 1.
We've got a special guest with us. Dr. Aaron Cariotti is a fellow and director of bioethics and American Democracy Program at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Let me read that again. He is a fellow and director of the Bioethics and American Democracy Program at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He's also a senior fellow and director of Health and Human Flourishing Program at the Zephyr Institute and a scholar at the Paul Ramsey Institute. He writes about his legal efforts to so he wrote this book here. This is about when he stood up for ethics during the COVID vaccine mandates and he got fired for it. We've already had him on. We've talked about this. And today we're having him on because there's a lawsuit happening. Well, welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thanks, Jimmy. Always good to be with you.
So there's been a collusion between the government and big tech to censor everybody, but most acutely the people who had a different point of view than Dr. Fauci did and the establishment on COVID policy. And so they asked, so here's just an example. They asked, this is the White House press secretary, and they asked her about the collusion, and here's her answer.
Did the administration give Twitter and Facebook talking points over flagging what the president describes as misinformation?
Say that one more time.
Has the administration helped Twitter and Facebook with talking points about what the administration believes is misinformation, or how much coordination is there between the administration and social media companies?
So I don't have anything to share with you on that. I'm not going to comment on that right this time.
The attorney generals from Missouri and Louisiana said there's a vast censorship enterprise across a multitude of federal agencies.
Yeah, I'm just not going to comment. Time.
She is charismatic. I can't wait to see her on Dancing with the Stars. So, Dr. Cariotti, tell me about this lawsuit. Now, it's the attorney general from Louisiana and Missouri, and are you involved in it?
Correct. So, if folks want to look it up, the case is Missouri v. Biden, and it was the AGs of those two states, Louisiana and Missouri, and there are four private plaintiffs attached to the suit as well. I'm one of them. My colleagues, Jay Bhattacharya and Martin Koldarf, who are two authors of the Great Barrington Declaration, are also among the private plaintiffs. And then the fourth one is a nonprofit medical freedom group in Louisiana. And we are alleging that the Biden senior administration officials in the Biden administration. Among them, potentially, Jean-Pierre, who you just showed a clip from, the former press secretary, Jen Psaki, is also going to be deposed in this case. Anthony Fauci, who was deposed on Wednesday, and the Surgeon General, other folks in the administration that people may or may not have heard of, were basically colluding with social media companies to censor any information that contradicted, undermined, questioned the government's favored COVID policies. And arguably, private companies like Facebook and Twitter can decide what they want or what they don't want on their platform. I say arguably because there's actually legal debate about that. But what no one doubts, inarguably, without question, the federal government cannot do that. And the federal government cannot lean on big tech companies to do its bidding. It cannot, under the subtle or sometimes not so subtle threat of, you know, increased government regulation or other things these companies fear, it cannot suborn these companies to do its bidding. But we now have a trove of evidence that we've recovered, email communications, text message communications between senior government officials and top executives at these big tech agencies, showing that that's exactly what the government was doing, especially in relation to COVID policy, but also in relation to other issues like election integrity and so forth. And Jimmy, this level of censorship got down into the weeds and down to such a level of detail. There were communications that would literally say things like, why isn't this specific individual, why hasn't so-and-so been removed from your platform, Twitter or Facebook? And then, 5 minutes later, you get a response from some vice president of something or other at Twitter or Facebook saying, oh, don't worry, we're taking care of it right now. So the government says jump, social media companies say how high, this is a clearly a violation of the First Amendment free speech right of Americans to question, challenge government policy in the public square. This is basic constitutional right.
It's nuts that they made it illegal on social media to question the government. That's really what they did. You can't question the government or their policy when it's about anything to do with the biggest story of my life, which was COVID. You can't disagree with them. And with the big news out of this is this. So a judge in September ordered Fauci, as well as former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and current White House Press Secretary Karen Jean Pérez, which you just said, you noticed that she provided testimony on the role in the big tech. So they have to be deposed. That's the big story.
That's right.
So on Wednesday, the big story is Fauci provided a 7-hour deposition on Twitter. On this matter. So what's interesting is one of the guys who was questioning him tweeted it out. I didn't have time to put it in the show today, but he tweeted out how Dr. Fauci couldn't remember anything that was related to COVID. It was his memory just went out the window, and he can't remember anything. So you did a Twitter. So the big news out of it is that Fauci sent this guy Clifford Lane, his deputy at the NAID, as the U.S. representative for the WHO delegation to China. And then Lane goes to China. He sees how they're doing their freaking draconian lockdowns. And so he says, hey, the Chinese, they say it works. They say it works to do these draconian lockdowns. And so we should do them too. And so the CCP has announced China had contained the virus through draconian lockdowns, a claim now known to be false. Given the China's pattern of falsified information, Lane and Fauci should have approached this claim with skepticism. Lockdowns were wholly untested and unprecedented. As our lawyer, Lefty Lockdowns 1, put it, Fauci was apparently willing to base his lockdown advocacy on the observations of a single guy relying on reports from a dictator. not exactly a double-blind randomized trial level of evidence, or indeed any level of evidence. Okay, so it wasn't based on any double-blind studies or randomized trial evidence, but it's still more rigorous than the way they approve those boosters. All right, anyway. For days after Lane returned, the WHO published its report praising China's strategy. China's uncompromising and rigorous use of non-pharmaceutical measures, meaning lockdowns, to contain transmission of the COVID-19 virus in multiple settings provides vital lessons for the global response. This rather unique and unprecedented public health response in China reversed the escalating cases, the report claimed. My colleague Jeffrey Tucker at the Brownstone, I don't know what that is, gave a tongue-in-cheek gloss of WHO's misty-eyed report. I've seen the future, and it is Wuhan, meaning that they were going to do that to everybody around the world, and they did. They started in Italy. Lockdowns quickly spread from China to the West, as a troubling number of Western apologists besides the WHO also looked to the Chinese Communist Party's COVID response for guidance. The U.S. and U.K. followed Italy's lockdown, which had followed China, and all but a handful of countries around the globe immediately followed our lead. Within weeks, the whole world was locked down. From the very beginning, the evidential basis for this global policy catastrophe was always paper thin, and we are now living in the aftermath. So there you go. So let me bring back in Dr. Go ahead. What would you like to just, I mean, that's nuts to me that there was absolutely no science on the lockdowns, yet we did them. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this confirmed what I suspected about the origin story of the lockdowns. And I write about this in the New Abnormal, but this was a kind of key linchpin that the story I was beginning to sketch in my book was in fact exactly what happened. So, you know, and a question, if you understand the history of public health, an obvious question is, why did we choose to lock down in those crucial days, weeks of February 2020? And lockdown apologists now are making an attempt to say, well, there are historical precedents for lockdowns. In the ancient world, in the medieval world, they used to quarantine people. Well, if you look at how quarantines used to work in the past, they may have involved locking the gates of a walled city. They certainly involved isolating symptomatic people who were showing symptoms of the illness. But they never involved forcing healthy people to stay in their homes. They never involved not allowing people to ply their trade or to make a living. So there were certainly travel restrictions and sort of border restrictions, if you want to put it that way. But this idea that people in the past used to lock down to manage pandemics is just absolutely ahistorical nonsense. Lockdowns were a wholly novel, wholly modern intervention that had been discussed in the early days of the war on terror following the September 11th attacks, the sort of biosecurity model of responding to biological attacks or naturally occurring pandemics started to be discussed, but it was never rolled out until COVID. So then the question becomes, okay, why did we do that? There was no empirical evidence that this would work. There was no historical precedent that would suggest that this would work from prior pandemics. And yet the whole world, almost in lockstep, adopted lockdowns in late February, early March. And so what happened was basically the world looked to the United States thinking our scientists, our public health agencies are the best in the world. And so if they're doing it, well, we'd better do it as well. And we took our cue, and this is the height of political irresponsibility. We took our cue on lockdowns from an authoritarian regime that didn't present us with a chance to look at actual data. We just had to take their word for it that they had initiated, you know, society-wide shutdowns and controlled the virus in Wuhan. And we now know that this is absolutely false. China is now seeing record numbers of COVID cases. And their stringent lockdowns and stringent COVID measures continue to this day. Because for them, it's about control. It's no longer about a virus. So you know, you can understand the Chinese Communist Party wanting to propagate, you know, propaganda that would cover up maybe the origin story of the virus, that it may have leaked from the Wuhan Institute, or that they may have been using their response to COVID for political purposes to gain increasing control over their population. All of that is understandable given this regime's behavior in the past and their record of human rights abuses in the past. What's shocking is that the United States, in fact, looked to China's response. The WHO, in fact, looked to China's response and announced to the world that this was the way to go. So when Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx in the White House Coronavirus Task Force, taking their cue from Clifford Lane's report, said we're going to have to lock down, there was no public discussion. There was no public debate about this. This is, in fact, what state governors and public health officials around the country decided to do based upon information that was fed to them by a regime that was trying to cover up information. We know had already been withholding information about COVID for weeks and weeks. There were known cases in China before China, you know, took notice, before they took action. So the Chinese Communist Party's behavior during the pandemic was irresponsible from the get-go. And was politically motivated to, you know, try to cover up a potentially disastrous event that had happened on their soil. And, you know, an intelligent public health response would have said, let's go with time-tested, measured, reasonable public health plans that have been in place for years in terms of managing a pandemic of a respiratory virus. Those plans, whether at the WHO or the CDC, never included lockdowns. We pivoted in the moment in a panic, and Fauci confirmed that origin story was in fact exactly what happened under oath, under penalty of perjury. He said that was the basis for the lockdowns, not new information, new empirical evidence, new studies, but the word of, you know, this person that I sent along, who swallowed hook, line, and sinker whatever the Chinese authorities, you know, fed to him.
So they just made it up, just like they made up. Yeah. Remember the, you got to stay 6 feet away from each other. They just made that up. There's no science to back that up. And
that's exactly right.
They just completely made it up. And you still, what's funny is, it makes me laugh that the people who claim to be following the science, of course, weren't. They were following the propaganda from Big Pharma that was being repeated through the Big Pharma captured corporate media. And then they thought that was the science because they never looked at it themselves, because they've been convinced that reading is somehow what Trumpers do. You're not. That's called doing your own research, which, you know, is just called, that's usually just reading. But during COVID, they shamed people for reading. So they wouldn't. They would just listen to what Fauci said or what Rachel Maddow said, and then they would think that was the science. That was never the science. There was never. They didn't know what they were talking about. And they've been, by the way, Fauci's been lying repeatedly. We've caught him lying about three huge things on this show alone. He lied about masks. He lied about natural. He lied about herd immunity. And he lied about funding gain of function. He lied about if even Wuhan was doing gain of function. He lied about that. So that's four lies. Two of those was to Congress. He should be in prison. And he funded the. He funded the gain of function research in the Wuhan lab, which most likely led to the creation of the COVID-19 virus, which killed millions of people, which means that he's very likely responsible for this pandemic. And that's why they had to smear everybody who said that the virus could have come from the Wuhan lab, because they knew they would be culpable, which is why they said you were a racist for even bringing it up. And then now we know through emails they knew all this, and that they were just doing a smear campaign, just like they smeared the people who were doing the Barrington Declaration. Dr. Bhattacharya and those people we had on our show, they were smearing those people because they had a better idea on how to treat COVID, and Fauci was basing his COVID policy on nothing. He was basing it on the word of a guy who went to China. And he heard from a dictator, and that's that. No science whatsoever. And so now we got him to admit it because a judge ordered him to have to answer questions. He wouldn't take a question 2 days ago at his last press conference. They tried to ask him about the origins of the virus. He would not take that question, and they shut up the reporters for asking it. So so I just want to show this. Peter Hitchens tweeted this out. Sage debated whether lockdowns would be effective here. China is a communist one-party state, we said. We couldn't get away with it in Europe, we thought, meaning their draconian lockdown policies. And then Italy did it, and we realized we could. So they did. So if you scare the shit enough out of people, then you can do these authoritarian – and that's the real message that people like Bill Gates and the guys at the WEF, that's the real message that they got. Like, oh, we can do this. People will take it if you scare them enough. Don't you think that's the message from this?
I think it is. And the guy you're quoting here, Neil Ferguson from the Imperial College in London, who is another lockdown advocate early on, he's the one – who designed the computer modeling that we adopted. Yeah. So the Imperial College computer modeling grossly overpredicted by orders of magnitude how many deaths we would get if we didn't lock down. And Imperial College model was actually tested and testable and found to be wildly exaggerated. And he's never apologized for that. For example, his model predicted that there would be 60,000 immediate deaths in Sweden if Sweden didn't lock down. Well, Sweden chose, unlike most nations, not to lock down. And they got a lot of flack for it initially. Oh, you're going to be killing everyone. Well, this model predicted 60,000 deaths. Sweden had 6,000 deaths, which was the same number of deaths per capita as the countries that locked down when you adjust for age, which means basically the lockdowns didn't do anything to prevent deaths. All they did was collateral damage, collateral harm. So here's another lockdown advocate. In those early critical days, who had put forward the key computer model, and again, with these models, you put garbage in, you get garbage out. You tweak the parameters a little bit, you can get any numbers that you want, more or less. This is not a randomized controlled study. This is just sort of speculative what if type scenarios that you plug into an algorithm. But this guy was also saying we need to look to this authoritarian regime for guidance here. This is the only way to manage a pandemic. In fact, the health reporter for the New York Times, the day after Fauci and Birx announced that lockdowns were the way to go, there was a podcast and a front page article in the New York Times. And the reporter's name is escaping me at the moment. He was later let go from the Times. But basically, the headline was, if we're going to get a handle on COVID, we will have to revise our understanding of civil rights, right? But what you thought were your inalienable rights will have to be suspended or, thrown out the window. And that's the only way to do it. So these are the people that we took our cues from. These are people that unfortunately are never going to admit that they were wrong. And I think what you described before, Jimmy, is an entirely plausible theory that a lot of the behavior that we saw from Dr. Fauci and other public health officials at the NIH and elsewhere had to do with the fact that they had a conflict of interest, that they were trying to deal with the origin story of the virus itself, right? And deflect attention away from the fact that the NIH funded the Wuhan Institute of Virology, specifically gain-of-function research on coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute, by way of this outfit called EcoHealth Alliance. And strangely enough, I'll just mention this before we wrap up. Fauci had a lot of memory lapses. I think you mentioned this in the introduction.
Well, here, let me show you this. Here's the tweet from Here's the tweet from the Attorney General of Louisiana. He says, wow, it's amazing to spend 7 hours with Dr. Fauci, the man who single-handedly wrecked the U.S. economy based upon the science, only to discover that he can't recall practically anything dealing with his COVID response. Yeah. So go ahead.
Not a single scientific paper to support any of his policies, just hand waving. Oh, there were so many papers that I read. How could I possibly cite one of them? But also, he couldn't remember the names of important people like Peter Daszak at the EcoHealth Alliance that he had given this this grant to, as though he had never heard of this person whose name has been in the news connected to kind of laundering money from the NIH to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It beggars belief that Fauci wouldn't be familiar with this guy's name. Or, you know, have you ever heard of Jay Bhattacharya or Martin Koldorf, you know, the authors of the Great Variant Prediction? So Fauci seems to forget a lot of the names and faces of people that his office dealt directly with during and before the pandemic. But it'll be an interesting question to see whether our judge in this case has the patience during the trial for these kind of evasive answers and prevarications. You know, you can get away in a deposition with claiming memory lapses up to a point, but when it comes to an actual trial, if you continue giving non-answers to specific questions, you know, the judge will have the ability at that point to redirect the witness and perhaps encourage him to jog his memory a little bit. So, you know, this is the beginning of a long process in this case. I anticipate, because the evidence that we've uncovered of the number of federal agencies and the number of people that were involved, clearly not, you know, not just potentially Anthony Fauci and the press secretaries, but so many other agencies, both in the Department of Health and Human Services, but also in the Department of Homeland Security. Again, the kind of what I talked about last time I was on, Jimmy, the melding of public health with the kind of military industrial complex. You saw this in how this whole censorship regime has been operating. So there's going to be a lot more information coming out in coming weeks and months as this trial proceeds. And I hope the American people are concerned about the degree to which the federal government attempted and by and large succeeded in controlling the flow of information to the American public during the last 3 years. And this is something that is clearly a threat to a free society. And so, you know, I think this case is important, not just because it may hold certain public health officials like Fauci, you know, may hold their feet to the fire a little bit and force them to ask, to answer some pointed questions, but also because the sort of systemic level of corruption involved in this in this regime of censorship is something that the Americans really need to understand and that we need to get a handle on to make sure that this kind of censorship doesn't continue in the future.
I'm not very optimistic. I think Americans, by and large, now want censorship. They think that it's they've turned censorship into the Christian thing to do. And they see when Elon Musk came on Twitter and he vowed to let everybody back on, they saw that they equate free speech with hate speech. That is quite a sleight of hand. If you're for freedom of speech, you're for hate speech. No, that is not, and so that's just the most horrible framing possibly you can give to someone. And they go, "You're a free speech absolutist." Yeah, absolutely. Of course I am. I'm unless you break the law, I'm for your ability to speak until you break the law. And then that's that. But they want way more censorship in the country. And it comes from the journalism class, right? It comes from the establishment. It comes from the Democrats, which are this party of the establishment party, right? And yep. and the Republicans are there just to scare you into voting for Democrats. So I hope
the Uniparty.
I hope we can shows like, you know, I hope we give people the tools when they watch a video like this so they can see the cabal of censorship, the merging of the state with the corporation, which is the definition of fascism, of course, according to Mussolini. So
that's
what the fascists aren't the dumb Trumpers in their terminology. The fascists is the establishment and the corporation coming together with the state to silence people. That's fascism.
That's exactly right. That's what the word originally meant. That's what it still means. And that's what we need to fear most of all. And I'll tell you what, censorship might seem kind of cool and enticing until you're on the receiving end.
That's right.
So hopefully more and more people will wake up when they find themselves on the receiving end of it, when they find that now their voice is one of those being censored. So yeah, I'm not entirely optimistic, but also I know that a regime built on lies ultimately is a house of cards. It will collapse. And, you know, my goal is to make it collapse sooner rather than later before even more damage is done.
Yeah. Again, they say when they impose censorship, they say many lies. One of them is that they're doing it to protect minorities, people who are in a marginalized group who are going to be a victim of hate speech. So they're doing it to protect marginalized people. Now, we all know the reason you need freedom of speech is to the exact opposite reason, to protect marginalized groups of people.
That's right.
The establishment doesn't need protection for their speech. It's the marginalized groups that always are the ones who are censored and shut up. Those are the people. So they're trying to pretend they're censoring to help and protect those minorities. It's the exact opposite. They're censoring so they can shut up anybody who has a counter narrative to the status quo.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Well, Dr. Aaron Cariotti, here's his most recent book, The New Abnormal, The Rise of Biomedical Security State. And it's all about this stuff we're talking about. And, you know, you came out on top. You know, you got fired. You were made a heretic. You were called names. And now, of course, when people are actually trying to start to follow the science, once Tony Science Fauci retires, people are like you are going to be exonerated. People like Jay Bhattacharya, Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Malone, they're all going to be – they're all now being vindicated, but you're not going to see them vindicated in the corporate press because the corporate press is bought by Big Pharma. But you will see them vindicated on shows like this or the biggest talk show in the world right now, Joe Rogan. You'll see them vindicated on the biggest news show in the world right now, Tucker Carlson. But you won't see it anywhere else that are beholden to Big Pharma.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate this opportunity, Jimmy, to you know, share what's going on with your...
Still my heart. Okay. I'm going to let Lily go first, and then Mom needs to get into the good news. But I'd love your opinion on that. It was a lot, I know, but oh my God.
I just realized I was unmuted the whole time. I hope I didn't disturb the program.
I didn't hear culpa. But
Lily, are you there, Steve? I think she went
away.
Okay,
Mom, you can go ahead. Yeah, she might be away. So why don't you go?
So I absolutely was cheering the entire time. So that's why I'm surprised you didn't that I was unmuted and you didn't hear me, because I loved every single bit of that. This man, it took me back to the beginning. Remember the idiot in England that did the model?
Yeah,
and terrify the entire world. You're all going to die unless
give a shout out. That was Jimmy Dore, and his website's jimmydore.com. It used to be jimmydorecomedy.com, but now it's jimmydore.com. He is brilliant. You should follow him. You should, you know, subscribe, you know, PayPal, whatever, Patreon, whatever, do whatever you need to, but subscribe to Jimmy Dore, because he is definitely a force that has woken up. So go ahead.
Yes, because of course he said it's the Christians that like censorship because they say it might prevent hate speech. And I was like, because I know he's an atheist. He's an agnostic, and I know that. So I'm like, no,
he's on our
true.
Side, We're, though, you know?
I know he is. I'm telling you, and I know he didn't used to be, okay, because he is a real progressive. He's a real
one. Yeah, he is.
Okay, and so the left, back in the 60s, started a free speech movement
when they protested the war. They've always been for unfettered speech. And I have no idea what caused them to turn into these little vapid, shilly sheep, and he's not. And so my hat is off to Jimmy Dore. I echo that word of support. He's on this story like no one else because they went back to the beginning. Who decided that lockdowns were a good idea? They've never done that before. Did you hear what he said? They went to China and China told them it was a good idea and that's where they got it from. My blood is boiling. Second.
I know. And this is, but I love it when people can put into words exactly what's been going on, this spell that we've all been under for such a long time. And for a progressive to understand that and to be able to elevate the right voices, including his own, to saying I'm sorry, basically, because he was a liberal, just like I was. That's, we all supported Bernie Sanders, and this is why we're, you know, running in the same circles, right? Jimmy Dore is waking up. He even, fell for the vaccine nonsense, and he got injured.
Bless his heart. I know. The other thing,
wake up until it affects them, you know, personally. Which
is the same thing
that people say about racism. So there's all of these contradictions in this progressive movement. But I'm so thankful for Jimmy Dore to be able to see through it. Is what I'm saying.
I agree. The other thing that the man pointed out that I thought was super important was the one that you've been howling about, Danielle, since day one, asymptomatic spread and herd immunity. Those two things when I do the good news report, it's mainly going to be about the Missouri case because there has been a ton of movement on that case. The man that was speaking is a plaintiff in that case.
Yes.
He's a plaintiff in the case, the Missouri case, which says our voices were silenced and we have the evidence. They have the email. So remember, going back a couple of weeks, and he said it today, the gentleman in there, the judge in this case has said there's no case to be proven. The case has been proven on its face. Okay. And that's because they have these emails between administration officials and social media companies saying, as a quote, I'm going to quote the guy, why hasn't this person been taken down? And within minutes, they take him down. Okay? And so this Missouri case is going to be a landmark case. Oh, my gosh. So. I'm going to add, do you mind if I do the good news now? And because the good news is about today is this case.
Yeah, you know what? Unless Lily's here and wants to offer some pre-thoughts.
Please, Lily.
I'm not sure if she's here. She might have, yeah. So, all right, yeah. Go ahead, and then she can just jump in whenever if she gets back. So.
Okay. So. As the gentleman said, okay, hold on. Here we go. Say hi, Nala. Take a break.
Oh, hi, Nala.
Take a break.
May I just, because this is completely off subject of the case, but has to do with one thing that was said in the video, which was what is the actual definition of fascism and are we living under it? You know, and that is, you know, when you actually say the actual definition of fascist or fascism, you know, I love the isms, that right there, that's one thing that was said in that video that needs to be said over and over and over again because they are changing the definition actively on the internet. So the real definition, again, is corporate controlled mixed with government, corporate controlling the government. So, all right, let's go back to the case.
Okay.
So the Missouri case, they, as was pointed out, deposed Anthony Fauci the day after he left his position, the Biden administration. There was information that came out of it, which is, first of all, that they went to the CCP to get the information about whether lockdowns were a good idea after they scared the crap out of everybody. Then, during the deposition, he admitted that he had lied about the masks. He admitted that they had no basis in fact, any scientific basis for the lockdowns. They had no, when he was asked about herd immunity, he just obfuscated. He didn't really answer that question properly. But they did get some good information from him, which is that there was a cover up. Anytime they asked him about the origins of COVID and the gain of function research, he didn't recall. So they didn't get very far with him there, which is kind of sad.
Okay. Now, let me just elaborate a little bit, because people who were paying attention at that time really did notice that not only did China, quote unquote, do nothing to stop the spread of a quote unquote pandemic that that was started in their country, they told their citizens to travel.
They did.
They locked down travel within their country, like flights coming in, but they made, but they encouraged their citizens to travel, right?
Yes.
And then also one more thing that Tracy Beans actually covered for the first time, uncovered for me, enlightened me on, was the origins here in the United States, where the points of entry happened. And one thing she brought to my attention was the military games that were going on in Wuhan, China, in 2019, and where they came back, where the soldiers came back, our military, where our military came back. You know, and the first people who landed in this country, and it was Seattle, and that was where the first reported case of coronavirus happened back in the day. If we're just, you know, if we're filling in the gaps. So, all right, that's Tracy Beans is a rock star, and we follow her too.
Rock star. Well, guess what? Most of what I have today is from her, and she, again, is a rock star. So to further the Missouri case, they're going after Jen Psaki. They call her Peppermint Commie. And she is fighting tooth and nail, the Biden administration, to protect her from having to have to give her deposition. And so here we go. I'm going to read you the stuff that Harold Finch is another good follow on Telegram. He apparently, I'd like everybody to pray for him. Apparently, they think he thinks he has cancer. And
oh no.
And yes, and so he says he's going to step away from the library. But it says former Biden press secretary Jen Psaki and her lawyer Jeannie Rhee of Mueller special counsel fame took their case to the friendly court of Eastern District of Virginia to try to have them overrule the Fifth Circuit's order that Psaki testify. And even after the judge and court shopping to rig it in their favor, they were still slapped down and literally laughed out of court. Read this exchange. The judge tells them, "Your argument on why you shouldn't answer questions on the record is ridiculous because your previous job was literally answering questions on the record." Okay? Translation, "I see how you're trying to use my court to rubber stamp your request because you can't get the judge overseeing the case to give you what you want. Running to dad to say yes when mom said no isn't going to fly here. Pound sand." Now, obviously, that's not what the judge said
but Harold Finch.
That's paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing, that's it. Then they went screaming back to the original court and judge overseeing the case, and not only threw a tantrum, but threatened to go outside his district and continue to judge in court shops to try to get the order to appear before the court thrown out. These people are scared to fucking death, quote from Harold Finch, to answer questions about the censorship they forced on the entire American people through corporations as an end run around the U.S. Constitution and our rights to free speech. Let me just con law, constitutional law hat, okay? The whole purpose of the First Amendment says that we have the right to redress our grievances in the public square and to our government. We have that right, and it shall not be infringed. It's another one of those God-given rights that everybody keeps talking about. Okay, they're from the Creator. They're not from government. So even though we know for sure that the government is actively engaged in censoring our free speech rights, they really have to do it undercover. Okay, they can't do it blatantly because they get called out for it. So instead, they used third parties, social media companies, to silence speech about the election, about election integrity, about COVID, various scene safety, as we've been discussing. Okay, and here again, the good news is they have all the evidence they need. This isn't he said, she said stuff. This is, they have the emails between the social media companies and the Biden administration officials telling them what to do. And that's against every constitutional precept connected to the First Amendment. They cannot do that.
Yeah. So, and like I keep saying, every time this subject comes up is they told us. I mean, we all watch the press conferences, right?
Right. That's what they're going to have.
It's not even a hidden thing. Press conferences are public record. White House press conferences are public record. They told us.
And she said, well,
that's
we
why the judge is like,
no.
Yeah, that's why the judge is like that. You know, it's already been proven. They admitted it in public forum. That's all right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's true. She did. Because she never thought she'd be called to account for it. So, there was a minor victory for the Biden administration during this exchange. They didn't say, we completely deny what you're saying. He just tells the judge overseeing the case, take a look at this issue again and see if there are alternatives to putting them on the witness stand. That's it. That's the whole of it. And the judge overseeing the case is going to go, yep, I checked. They still need to testify. First of all, you don't piss off a judge by going judge shopping, trying to get an opinion that you want. And then now they have to go back in front of this same court after they pulled this little shenanigan and expect to get some relief. They're not going to. But you're seeing in real time.
There's two states involved. This is where I wish I had a constitutional lawyer, like, on speed dial, because, like, now there's two states involved in this. Like, so is the federal government really saying, because it's the federal government representing the other, the defendant, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
If there's a, you know, so is the federal government saying that two states who agreed on a judge are both invalidated? Is that what's going on legally? Isn't that an offense?
Mm-mm. They're trying everything they know. And none of it's flying.
Gotcha.
Because at its core, what they did.
I see you, ladies. Raise your hand. Press one.
Does somebody want to make a comment?
Well, Lily, oh, there's Lily. Lily's back. And then
Oh, there's Elizabeth. She's with us now. She's probably feeling a little bit better. Hopefully my telepathic chamomile made you better, Elizabeth.
You did. You did. And so did my Ken Burns documentary. I'm watching the Roosevelt. Fascinating. I couldn't do Twitter. I'm like, I can't do. We live in a clown world right now. I can't do it.
We do.
In watching this, watching this, do you know that nothing has changed in politics? Like when FDR was wanting to do a second term, and they didn't know if he'd make it or not. They had a third party candidate came in that was an ally of Teddy Roosevelt. And they thought,
yeah,
oh, you know
changes.
What?
But now, okay, but
he's gonna get him.
This is kind of like
they had him assassinated.
Okay,
they had him assassinated.
Like we're in the middle of a subject
dirty
right now.
But dirty politics has happened like since the dawn of politics. What they're doing now?
Absolutely.
It's like the what is that game? The shell game, the three card Monte. They've been doing that forever. And we've finally figured out how it's done. And they're like, what can we do to distract them or to make them all shut up? It's just like, it's exhausting. I can't do it. It's like, they're basically going to do what they want.
Right,
they
exactly.
Like, you know
well,
what?
But that's
I
the
mean,
thing
is
we're talking about a specific court case. We're not talking about politics. We're talking about a specific court case. So. But Lily's back with us now, too, who watched the video that we were just discussing. Hang out with us, Elizabeth, but let's just get through this subject, and then I'm totally down to talk about you know, political malfeasance. But this is about maybe a win for us. So, Lily, are you with us?
I am. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. I muted during the video. And I had to run out and grab something for dinner. So I was listening and I was there. I just muted. And then when I tried to come back, you couldn't hear me, but I could hear you. And so I had to call back.
Okay. Well, okay. So you listened to the video. What do you think? Isn't that like basically a good summary of what's been going on, like the origins of all of this? And the fact that it is in an active court case. You know,
that's what I'm so excited about. It's setting a precedent now, you know, so now when these fools attempt to do this again with their new pretend pandemic, it's going to come back to haunt them, right? Because now it is setting a court precedent in law. So I'm glad I muted because I was like cheering. I got stared at actually at the grocery store because I was cheering, but I was really happy.
I was cheering too. So
in a nutshell, what was this case about?
Oh my God! It's a multi-state
right,
court case, and we listened to a Jimmy Dore that brought on one of the plaintiffs, actually, like a doctor that's an actual plaintiff on this court case. And, you know, basically he was filling us in on what was going on in the deposition, Fauci, and what he admitted, you know, under deposition was fact and the things that he just conveniently forgot. So we just got to math, he was talking about masks, how they're not effective, how, but mom was actually doing the good news report on this subject too. So. We got to one aspect that he would not, and the China connections and all of it.
So, right now,
I'm sorry, I'll let mom give you the good news. I thought you were talking about the Arizona contestation between Carrie Lake and the others. That's what I thought you were talking about. That's why I went on my
we're talking about the court case. And the origins of COVID. So, let's let her finish up the good news report, and then I would love your opinion on that because it's got so much to do with China. So, all right, Mom, go ahead.
You guys want to kick around Maricopa after I get done with the good news report, I'd love to listen because there's a lot going on. So, posed Anthony Fauci, a ton of information came out. I thought the most important piece of it that came out was that they sent an administration official to China, who had started doing lockdowns, and Danielle covered that. They locked down their own citizens after they encouraged them to travel. Then they locked them down. And so we went to China, an administration official went to China to say, you know, how's that lockdown thing going? And China says, it's great. You got to try it. It's totally working. And we did.
CCP, so we're like, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Because we wanted to fucking do it anyway. Sorry for cussing. Lord, forgive me. Okay.
That was already part of the plan, right?
Exactly. He did admit under oath that he knew masks didn't work. Okay. So next they want to get Jen Psaki. Okay. Jen Psaki, as Danielle rightfully pointed out,
they're coming after
the podium.
Peppermint Patty at Christmas time.
Peppermint commie. Anyway, admitted from the podium that they had been going to social media companies to stop the spread of quote-unquote misinformation and disinformation and malinformation. And they took it all the way through because they said, you know, for our safety because of COVID, of course, but they didn't just stop there. They didn't just stop there. They took down accounts that were talking about the election being stolen, so on and so forth. How? And they took down a sitting president of the United States.
Biden's laptop. That's the connection right there. They were able to, hold on 1 second. They were so easily able to take down Hunter Biden's laptop because there was still a quote-unquote emergency, a public health emergency. So that's what they're going to argue in court is they were able to do it, and then they slipped this other stuff under the table, which actually is going to be their demise. So I'm sorry, proceed.
You're right. The person they wanted to pose is Jen Psaki because she stood up in the podium and said what they were doing. Okay. According to the court documents here recently, because she's fighting tooth and nail. She's fighting like a banshee to not have to testify. The judge already told her, you're going to, so that she went judge shopping. According to the transcripts, they're terrified of Psaki taking the stand. They want the plaintiffs to agree, stop calling for her to testify until they literally file all the appeals in multiple courts all the way to the Supreme Court. They're terrified. They want to do anything to keep her off the witness stand. Notice, plaintiffs are being reasonable in accommodating the Biden administration and its current formal officials are accepting no compromises at all. They're treating this like their hill to die on. I'm quoting Harold Finch, hat tip, Harold Finch from Telegram, also on True Social, the library, which is where Danielle and I get a ton of our information. It's good information. It checks. He usually just quotes the people themselves and shows the stories themselves. He doesn't, you know, he's editorializing a little bit about this case, but he's going from the court transcripts. Again, as Tracy Beans pointed out, the documents prove what they said and did with respect to completely destroying, stripping the First Amendment from Americans, and the testimony will blow the case open further. This is a criminal matter. They're going to be charged criminally, all of them. Could result in criminal charges for these officials and many others. The reality is that the on-the-stand testimony is crucial and will be damning, and they can't lie on the stand because of the documents already admitted to the record. Perjury won't save them this time. They can't gaslight their way out of it and puts them in additional jeopardy. So four times they've gone to four different judges. They've filed four different motions to keep Jen Psaki off the stand. It has none of them have worked.
Well, I think it's time for CNN to line up at her house at 4 a.m. with some, you know, SWAT teams and bring her in, right? Isn't that what we do in this country? Come on. They have to play by their own rules.
That's what I thought, too. So plaintiffs are asking the judge to force Psaki and the government to pick a date between December 12th and December 19th. Get your popcorn. So that is next. Jen Psaki. Yep. I did have something from Archbishop Vigano. I hope I can find it because I have filled up the good news. I got a bunch of died suddenly in here. And we already talked about it. So I'm going to skip all that. But good news, all the Antifa Twitter handles are getting taken down. One called Crime Think, T-I-N-C, position. Can I just read that real quick?
Yes, please do. I don't think you finished. So, yeah, do it.
I want to make sure we cover all of it because, you know, they talked a little bit about it today in that thing, but it says day before Thanksgiving, the suit alleges a massive coordinated effort by the deep state, the permanent administrative state, to work with Big Tech. This is Gateway Pundit, hat tip, to censor and manipulate Americans from average citizens to news outlets on issues including the Hunter Biden laptop from hell, 2020 election integrity, COVID-19 origin and extent skepticism, COVID-19 vaccine skepticism, among other issues. Jim Hoft, the Gateway Pundit, is also one of the plaintiffs in that case because they shut down his website and they kicked him off of Twitter. They silenced him, right? So Jim Hoff and attorney John Burns were present at the – they were there at the deposition and witnessed the octogenarian squirm, stall, and lie for 7 hours. While the deposition uncovered no smoking guns, the sheer volume of things Fauci couldn't recall or couldn't remember alone, along with his obvious attempts at providing misleading and deceptive responses, collectively damn his testimony. First, some observations. Fauci is a skillful liar. As we have seen now for months in his public comments, he lies when he feels he can get away with it or when he feels there will be no meaningful consequences. Fauci frequently lied unless and until he was confronted with alternate facts. For example, he claimed he wasn't familiar with Ralph Baric, creator of the COVID virus, or Peter Daszak. Remember, I told you, when he said I couldn't recall, it was the people that he was working with at the Wuhan lab. Until he was confronted with evidence that his own chief of staff emailed him describing Daszak and Baric as being part of Fauci's team, then he couldn't lie anymore. Fauci claims that he had no knowledge that his communications team did not coordinate with social media companies to stop misinformation and disinformation until he was forced to admit that he actually did know of certain instances. Continue to push the now debunked assertion that COVID-19 was a naturally occurring virus. Fauci said disinformation and misinformation he disagrees with, information he disagrees with puts lives at risk. Fauci refused to define gait of function. He said they asked him a number of times, and he said, there's no way for me to do that here. It was too broad of a term to define. Fun fact, until very recently, Fauci's daughter worked for Twitter. Did you guys know that?
I don't think I did.
Fun fact, Fauci's a hypochondriac. A couple of people sneezed while they were there. He flipped out. Let's see. Whenever
I would totally love to sneeze on him.
Yes. When introduced to a difficult topic, he dishonestly refused to define key terms so he could avoid being pinned down and held accountable. Knock it off.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the head of our health, public health.
Okay. Let's see. Listen to this. Fauci argued that hydroxychloroquine was dangerous and had toxic side effects. This is absurd because HCQ is one of the safest medicines known to man, but also because the COVID vaccine has killed tens of thousands of people and injured thousands, hundreds of thousands more. So they went after him for stifling HCQ. He said Fauci claimed HCQ was ineffective in treating COVID, but couldn't cite a single study to support his claim. Fauci also rejected the list of 371 studies on HCQ and if in treating the disease, when he was presented with the list. I didn't want to look at it. Fauci admitted lying to the public. In one of the more amazing segments during his deposition, Fauci admitted
that he knowingly made false public health statements at the beginning of the pandemic, advising people against using masks in order to discourage the public from depleting the supply of masks. He admitted he got his ideas of the lockdown from communist China, who implemented their extreme lockdowns in January 2020. So that's the bulk of his testimony. So there he is. Here's Vigano, and then I'll close with that. You know I love this guy. This is the Archbishop. He's still alive, doing well, Lily, in case you're wondering. He did a video yesterday, but this one is from the 24th of November.
Thank you for telling me. I do worry about that man because I love him, and I know he's divinely protected, but I also know Vatican secret police were issued to find him. So very glad.
Absolutely. And then he did one yesterday. It was a video, though, and I can't play it on here, but this was his message to medical doctors who are calling for COVID ethics after the 2020 nightmare resulting in the destruction of human life and rights. Medical Doctors for COVID Ethics International is grateful to His Excellency Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano for speaking to us and sharing his thoughts on the current global crisis, which began with the fraudulent concocted COVID-19 pandemic emergency supported by and maintained by an evil military-grade psychological operation, complete with the unashamed use of fear and shame propaganda, which was unleashed in a coordinated manner on the unsuspected people of the entire world by their own governments in early 2020, with predictable cataclysmic results. Archbishop began by thanking the doctors for their courageous work and speaking out against propaganda. Your commitment to fighting the pandemic propaganda is commendable, and I am well aware of the difficulties you have had to face in order to remain consistent with your principles, and I hope that the damage you have suffered can be adequately repaired by those who have discriminated against you, depriving you of work and salary, and labeling you as dangerous no-vaxxers. I am pleased to be able to speak and share my thoughts about the current global crisis, a crisis that we can consider to have begun with the pandemic emergency, but that we know has been planned for decades with very specific purposes by well-known personalities. Stopping at the pandemic alone would in fact be a serious mistake because it would not allow us to consider the events in their full coherence and interconnectedness, thus preventing us from understanding them, and above all, from identifying the criminal intentions behind them. He named Klaus Schwab, and he talks specifically about Klaus Schwab is in the fourth industrial revolution, the winners will take it all. Klaus Schwab said, in the fourth industrial revolution, the winners will take it all. So if you are a World Economic Forum first mover, you are the winners. These are very serious statements. These very serious statements have two implications. The first is that the winners will take it all and will be winners. It is not clear in what capacity and with whose permission. The second is that those who do not adapt to the fourth industrial revolution will find themselves ousted and will lose. They will lose everything, including their freedom. In short, Klaus Schwab is threatening the heads of government of the 20 most industrialized nations in the world to carry out the programmatic points of the Great Reset in their nations. This goes far beyond the pandemic. It is a global coup d'etat against which it is essential that people rise up and that the still healthy organs of state start an international judicial process. The threat is imminent and serious since the World Economic Forum is capable of carrying out its subversive project, and those who govern nations have all become either enslaved or blackmailed by this international mafia. So Vigano said, he closed by, these are perilous times and spiritual leaders are needed around the world. Jim Hoff said it, excuse me. And we are grateful to Archbishop Vigano for speaking out, and I am too. He's continued, and I wish you could see this picture of him. It looks like a little Keebler elf. He's so adorable. He's so cute. He has that beautiful face of a, you know, a lifelong servant of God. So, that is what I have for the good news. The Missouri case, keep watch
for Jen Psaki's testimony. It'll be coming out. You'll catch it in the Gateway Pundit. Or, again, you can follow the library on Telegram. Tracy Beans, knocking it out of the park. Obviously, Jimmy Dore, hat tip to all of them for the work that they've been doing under immense pressure from people like Klaus Schwab and our own government. You might as well, but I repeat myself. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the information that I shared?
It's not my government.
Lily, why don't you go
first? Government.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. You go.
I just was making an obnoxious comment. It's not my government. I didn't vote for it. It's your government. You can have
yep.
it.
Yep. You can have it. You're right. I agree.
Oh, Renter unto Caesar, what is Caesar's?
Yeah.
What is what? Oh, render to Caesar's. Well, you know, it's a clown world. This is like, I'm watching like an old documentary of the very first United Nations meeting that they had. And I'm like, I'm trying to like piece together, how did this all start? What was the behind the scenes? And how did it go from this to this? And, you know, is this actually reality? Or is this not just this metaverse? Here, they have you look at this. And where are we getting our news from? From a phone, from a Twitter account, from a Facebook account, from a this and that. And the actual...
Hopefully from Seeds of Change.
Oh, no. This
every,
is not, every time I go from...
Second. Yeah. From
into this reality that everyone has, it's a damn cartoon. And I'm like, this is just... I can't. It hurts my head. So...
You also have the flu. Probably right everything hurts your head right now.
Did it, what?
I said, but you have the flu too, so maybe everything.
Well, that's why
everything hurts my head when I have the flu.
Yes, I know.
Lily, did you have any questions or comments?
Well, I want to tell you thank you for sharing what Archbishop Vajana said, and I'm going to have to ask you. I'll send you a message to find out where you read some of his stuff sometimes, because you find things that I don't find. And I absolutely adore that man. Just love him. And I pray up for him. Every day I add him to my prayer list because I think that he is so important. You know, and
he's
I know he's protected, like I said. But we need him, and he is definitely on our team. And I just love you very much, Carla. And I always appreciate all of the great news that you share, because not only is it very informative, but it also, you know, like, brings some hope into dark times.
Yeah.
And all three of you really are just beautiful lights in the darkness. But I just really want you to know that I appreciate you.
Thank you for saying that. And again, I'm going to give a hat tip. And you can write me, and I'll put it in the comments of Seeds of Change. But it is the Gateway Pundit. And it's a news aggregator. And again, Jim Hawkt is one of the plaintiffs in the Missouri-Louisiana case because he was trying to share the truth and got, just like millions of us, got silenced. And so that's how he can demonstrate. Okay, so in order to bring a lawsuit, you have to demonstrate there was injury, that there were damages, right? Jim Hawkt and the Gateway Pundit, this is obviously his business. And it was, they tried to ruin it, but he will bring voices like Vigano, Archbishop Vigano, but where everywhere else they get silenced. And so, yes, and I appreciate you guys too. I'm going to go out and lock the chickens up. The bobcat was back this week, didn't get any chickens. Thank goodness, security system we have put in place since the last time he ravaged us. I've got this long video. He was in the coop or in the run, wandering around, trying to figure out how to get in. Anyway, so pray for my chickens. Continue to pray for the chickens that the bobcat doesn't figure out how to get in to the coop. Okay?
Okay. All right. We love you. As usual, I'm going to close with my final thought, is that God is still sitting on his throne. He hasn't surrendered his authority, not to climate change, not to Klaus Schwab, not to Bill Gates, not to all of these evildoers. He knows who they are, and he's has authority over them. He already told them, you're all going to hell. And they all know it, right? They know they're going to hell. And so they're fighting like the demons they are right now. We are in a spiritual battle. Pray. Ask God to protect us. Ask God to protect our nation and all the people of our world that live in it. Have a great week, and I'll see you guys next week, huh?
Okay,
take
love
care,
you.
Travis.
Love you. Peace be with you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. So I can say we can either do, you know, Elizabeth is here. We don't know how long she's going to be with us. So if you want to, if you've got a topic you want to talk about, then that's awesome. And if not, I would love to talk about the Colorado shooting that happened during our show last week.
Oh, was okay. Yeah.
Is that good with you, Lily?
Yes, that's perfect with me. I'm so sorry. I need to quit muting, but I don't want it to be loud because I have dogs and children. And I've been,
anyway,
like, stuck in bed with that concussion a little bit. And so, you know, so then they come in to tell me they need things. And so I just mute, but then it takes me a second to unmute, and I apologize.
No problem.
Real quick, before we go into – because I am interested in the Colorado thing. Segue to something different, just real quick, Lily. What do you know about the Dolomites in Montana?
The what?
Dolomites, the Dolomites, the big monolithic Dolom.
I don't, I mean, unless I know them by a different name, I don't know anything about them.
But I was asking Lily because it's more of like it's a ancient Indian kind of thing.
So
I
don't know a ton about them, but what I do know is that it's a very sacred site, known to be guarded and inhabited by ancient ancestors. And in the last, within the last couple of years, they have largely closed it off to the public because it's, you know, it's a bit like Chaco Canyon. They've closed off as well in Bears Ears because there's so, the spirits of the ancestors are so restless. You know, they're pretty furious with the way that things are going. And a lot of it is with the way that their own bloodlines have forgotten some of who they are and what they're here to be doing, you know. And so some of them are closed off, but you can still visit the Dolomites. You just have to, I don't know, as always, you know, just be very respectful. If you're going to go, I would suggest bringing like a tobacco offering to the spirits, you know, to thank them for allowing it to be there, because they are, you know, not happy with us at this moment. Well, not all of us, but, you know, they're not happy with the majority of us right now. And, but they're a beautiful sacred site. Olivia and I actually recently, it's ironic, we were, well, not ironic, it's a synchronicity, but we were talking about going there. And also visiting in Utah, well, no, not Utah, it's Ohio. They've got this huge, I don't know how you would describe it. It's like this dome, but it's not very high up. It's, you know, in the ground. And it is the shape of a giant snake. And recently had to do a project on that for her college class, Origin of the Humanities. And so we were talking about how we needed to visit that area, and then we also needed to visit the Dolomite. So it's very beautiful and synchronic that you brought that up to me today.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, the energy that's coming off of it, it's unbelievable, and you're right on the target as to what it is emanating, good energy, which and strong energy. And it's owned by a private it's not government land. A private person bought this, and I'm like, why? It's the only area that's not under attack by fires. They're trying to destroy all the artifacts in Montana right now. So I was just curious. I was like, I wonder if you know anything about this. They have a archaeologist from Serbia. He was the one that discovered the Serbian pyramids, and he was over there doing his little whatever the word is, but he had his, and it's not Geiger counters, but it's energy meters, and figured out that these things were like 92 tons each stone, and it's just you know, going back to there's more than meets the eye, and I was like, oh, I wanted to talk about that instead of Twitter, such things. I'm like, weird, yeah, but I did want to talk about Colorado because I am worried to death about Ty. And I'm curious as to whether, like, it looked like.
It was in a different city.
Did it not look like, too? It's a false flag. It had the same people hugging and the same feel to it, but yet it was a place we all know and people that we know that goes there. And then the people that they showed as being the people who were killed and the folks that were patrons, they didn't quite fit the videos that I saw of, like, the real bar life of the area. So
was it
I'm
a
like,
dousing? Like, were they dousing? Not Geiger, but was it like a dousing readout?
No, an EMF reader, like more of an electromagnetic frequency kind of thing is what he was using that registered. It would register the temperature and how the temperature where you're standing would be different than what the temperature of the rock was, and even like the dew point would be different, kind of like as if it was not quite in your. It was very. It was fascinating. I posted it on my page. It's a YouTube of Judy Ryder and Dr. Sam, I believe. Very, very interesting stuff, and they really are starting to try to tear this down. It's going to. She had just discovered this in. It, old, amazing, megalithic sanctuary of ancient things that we can't even fathom what is there. And they're starting to try to destroy it.
We are a species with amnesia.
As
sure.
We are so prone to do.
Elizabeth. So there's a couple of really cool things about those is that the frequency is so high, like they're almost what we would sometimes describe as like an interdimensional being of its own, right? Because they exist, obviously, physically in our space, but the energy they emit is not physically of this realm, which has caused a ton of people, you know, to do research and try to figure out, like, why. It's a bit like Mount Shasta. They have found things there that emit a similar frequency. And, another thing I wanted to tell you, it's not about those specifically, but it's related, and I thought you might like it, the Schumann resonance. So, you know, like the scale they use to measure the frequency of the electromagnetic field of this Earth realm as a whole is so high now that they are not able to measure it, and they actually issued an emergency, which is a really good thing. Because it means that it is off their record. And the more that frequency, it's been like having surges and raising higher all the time, the last few years especially. But because it's done that, when it raises its frequency, so do we, you know, because we're connected to her. And so what's really cool about that is that, you know, like it has everything to do with prophecy and how the timeline splits in half and the two worlds split from each other. And we need the Schumann resonance for us to be able to do that. And so that's getting, like, it's already happening, but it's, like, nearer and nearer to a breaking point of really great proportion, you know, that we will finally be only in a fifth Earth. And, you know, the people doing all the harm will only be in a third Earth.
And so I wanted to just tell you because I don't know.
Thank you. Because I've seen the Schumann resonance, and they don't go into explanation of it, but they're very alarmed at it. I heard, I was listening to Doug Diamond last night. I asked him if he gave him the number, see if he'd call in on the show and talk more about this. Was the animals doing all these circling things all over?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, he threw out a theory that it is the same as the angels. It's a correlation between what is heaven in the celestial realm. It's the angels are surrounding the throne of God, and the angels are getting ready to do something. And I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's fascinating that the animals are responding to something we're not quite aware of yet, although I think this is all affecting us in different ways. How are you guys feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. You know, the animal circling is prophecy. It's discussed specifically in prophecies, and it also happened in the time of Noah, right before the flood. The animals were circling like that, and it's noted in the Bible and in other historical documents that they were doing the same thing.
Yeah, I'm just fascinated by that right now. So I want to talk of nothing else than that because there's something is going on, and I know like my own personal, I am so swollen. It's almost like I'm not sick, but I'm so fucking uncomfortable. It's unbelievable, and my body is just every joint is swollen. I can barely walk, and I have high irritability. So it's kind of wild. Oh,
I hope you feel better soon.
Pardon me?
Oh, I really hope that you feel better soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a week. I do too, because I don't like it. I don't like it. Oh, so onward to the Colorado thing, because I'm interested in that. What do you have on that?
Okay, let me get that. It is queued up. I was just in the kitchen, actually. Queued up. Here we go. All right. It's another Jimmy Dore, but he's just been on fire this week. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Cool. I want to cover this story, even though there's nothing in it for me to cover this story. Here we go. The Washington Post, the Colorado massacre cannot be blamed on mental illness. It's rooted in hate. It cannot be. So that's called jumping to conclusions before you know the story, and you have a political narrative that you want to now use a murder or a mass murder to forward your political opinion.
Is it extreme homophobia, both a mental illness and hate? It's called phobia. That's a mental illness.
Yes.
I mean, and it's rooted in hate. So yes, it can.
So that's the Washington Post. That's November 21st at 1:51 p.m. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she says, Lauren Boebert, she's holding responsible.
Yeah.
You have played a major role in elevating anti-LGBT plus hate rhetoric and anti-trans lies while spending your time in Congress blocking even the most common sense gun safety laws. You don't get to thoughts and prayers your way out of this. Look inward and change. So she's coming down on Lauren Boebert for this. Yeah, Boebert, you don't get to thoughts and prayers your way out of this. You're going to have to do a full puff piece interview with Ryan Grimm. Then both Ryan and Emily have to cover that puff piece on breaking points, counterpoints. There's a process, okay?
Then we talk. We pick you out a gown to write your message on.
That's right. But you know what? Too bad for the Washington Post and AOC. Colorado club shooting suspect is non-binary. Oh, well, then, I don't know how to feel about this mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
obviously, I believe without question, anyone who merely claims to be non-binary, I'm not a monster like Lauren Boebert.
Right.
But on the other hand, I really want to blame this on Lauren Boebert. I guess you could say my feelings on this are non-binary. Come on. Come on.
I'm having a lot of non-binary feelings about this story.
So watch this. So do you
this is great.
This, she's going to report the news that I just reported to you, this news that the shooter is non-binary and uses the pronouns they, them.
And she already, you can see from her panic that she was really committed to this Lauren Boebert thing.
Yes.
And it's like, she doesn't know what to do.
Now they don't know what to do. Watch, they don't know what to do. Because the shooter says that the shooter is non-binary,
right.
They, them.
And no one would ever lie about that for gain or to.
And you can't
something.
Challenge
yeah.
people on that. So
nor should you?
You're not allowed. Like if there was this. Well, let's just play it.
So attorneys for the accused shooter, Anderson Lee Aldrich, say in new court filings tonight that the suspect now identifies as non-binary. In a footnote.
Did you see her smirk? Like, I don't believe it. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you're not allowed to do that up until now. You weren't, just like with the hashtag MeToo up into Joe Biden being accused, you weren't allowed to not believe hashtag MeToo. You weren't allowed to not believe people who said they were non-binary up until right this second.
And she's not fully prepared to do that. She wants to.
But she did it a little. Right. She doesn't. She's afraid to do it.
I mean, what do I do here?
Right. But watch. She can't hide. She had a microaggression.
Mm-hmm.
Watch her. Watch.
So. Attorneys for the accused shooter, Anderson Lee Aldrich, say in new court filings tonight that the suspect now identifies as non-binary. In a footnote to a motion asserting legal privileges, the public defenders say, quote, Anderson Aldrich is non-binary. They use they, them pronouns, and for the purposes of all formal filings, will be addressed as Nix Aldrich. So in other words, not Mr. or Ms. Joining me now, CNN political commentator Errol Lewis, also back with me, Al Franken and Joe Walsh. I don't know what to say about that. I mean,
I don't know what to, she doesn't know what to say about that because you know what she wants to say about that. She's not even allowed to think this. She's not even allowed to think that someone who says that they're non-binary and uses they, them isn't being sincere. You're not allowed to question it.
It just doesn't happen.
So now she doesn't know what to do. So she's going to throw it to the black guy and hopefully they'll be shielded by his minority status.
I just hope he's got enough blackness to cover three of them.
Yes, I hope he has enough.
Al Franken's going to take up most of it, so I don't know if there's enough for the other two.
Let's see what happens.
Not anything that we had heard from his background. You know, people have been looking into his background, and I don't know if anybody here, are you guys lawyers? I mean, you know, I don't know if...
No, and none of us want to say shit about this, okay? None of us want to...
I'd like to have mine present before I answer any more questions.
Yes!
Know what to say about that. I mean, that's what he's now saying.
It sounds like they're trying to prepare a defense against the hate crimes charge. That's...
I don't know if you're allowed
Chappelle,
to...
buddy.
I mean, that sounds like something Chappelle would say.
Yeah, and this guy is not going to get...
I love how the news lady short-circuited. The suspect claims to be non-binary. I don't know what to say. I'm scared for my life. Errol, you're black. You want to say the thing I'm afraid to even think? And he said it. He said it.
Oh, now it's just a waiting game.
Here we go. Let's back it up. Here it is.
That's what he's now saying.
It sounds like they're trying to prepare a defense against the hate crimes charge. That's the least of his problems, legally speaking, but it looks like they're trying to build some kind of sympathy or at least confusion on the question of whether or not this is purely motivated by hate.
That is what it sounds like. We'll wait to see.
That is what it sounds like. We have to wait to see.
That's the least of his problems legally, but the most of our problems socially.
And so that's what, so you're not allowed to do that. I mean, this puts the Wokerati in a conundrum, right? At this point, if they say he's faking, they're admitting that people can lie about their gender at will. That's a big no-no. If he's not faking, the narrative crumbles and they have egg on their face forever.
I was going to take two or three more for sure. Tara Reid should have been the end of me too, but it took in Amber Heard. And by the way, 130 feminist groups signed an open letter. They still support her.
They still support her after
like a
that.
Mass credibility suicide they committed.
After she lost in court with a female judge.
Because they probably got paid.
With a female judge.
With everything stacked again for her.
Yeah. With
she
everything.
That much of a liar.
She's that much of a liar she lost.
Yeah. So I don't know which one this is. If this is an Amber Heard one or if this is a mere Tara Reid one.
So here, I just want to show you. This was MSNBC. So CNN here's MSNBC doing it. Let's watch.
LGBT community has always been a subject of hatred for a certain brand of fringe kind of person, right? But something happened in March and April of this year. And in March and April of this year, as the far right-wing conservatives sort of got over CRT or critical race theory, they needed a new boogeyman. And they left on LGBTQ community members, specifically trans people, their doctors, their caregivers, libraries that had books that were LGBT focused. This was really just sort of the cause celebre on the far right. Since April, we've also seen a one-to-one correlation with violence, harassment, assault, real-world violence in this community. Pride events were disrupted. There were 31 neo-Nazis were arrested back in August, the Pride event in Ohio, in Idaho.
So she's quoting that bullshit PSYOP.
I thought it wasn't disrupted because they caught Patriot Front before they did what
before
exactly?
Before they showed up.
Showed up and were mistaken as part of the parade in their little outfits.
She just that was obviously
librarians being assaulted, trans librarians being assaulted. It's just been
trans librarians were assaulted.
And the rhetoric has ramped up so much that it's people that we were talking to since April about this, that were the subject of this, they were saying repeatedly, we're waiting for an instance of real world violence where people are going to get killed.
And here it is. And we've also seen, and there was a lot of...
And here it is. They're just making this up. They don't know anything about it, but I can use this mass murder to further my political agenda.
Oh my
God. Not knowing anything about it.
And here it is. A non-binary did it, so that's awkward.
Conversation about this, the Denver Post covered it, about drag shows being targeted. What is going on with that?
Yeah, because they targeted drag shows a lot, and in part because Drag Time Story Hour, where a drag queen would come, it was ubiquitous in libraries all over the country had it. A drag queen would come.
Now, this is where I don't know anything about this. Now, I always liked drag queens. I always get a kick out of drag queens. I always like them. They're very entertaining.
Yeah, nobody violently attacked a drag queen. That didn't happen at all. What happens if people protest it, and then people who show up and are pro it will get in fights? Nobody did that. She's wow. That's really something, man.
This is ubiquitous in libraries across the country that kids go to hear drag queens read to them?
Who goes to libraries
them?
Is my first question.
First of all, who does go to libraries?
That's not homeless sleeping there. I haven't heard of that. Kids. Secondly, this idea.
Why do drag queens want to read to kids? I thought being a drag queen was about going out to a drag bar and having fun.
Because they think it's some kind of like.
Let me ask you this. Drag queen isn't being a isn't a transsexual. That's a different thing.
Transvestite.
No, but a drag queen doesn't identify as a woman, right?
No, I think it's usually like a gay guy that dresses up.
Yeah, that's a different thing than a transsexual.
Like a Vegas adult act is how I always thought of it. But that's because to spread it. See, look.
Isn't that a gay guy I don't know. I'm ignorant on this. I thought I knew what a drag queen was.
What I don't get is this. The people that they think this is important, like, we got to get to the kids and show them drag queens are good early.
Why?
The kids that you think that you need to reach with that for some reason are not going to be at that show. The kids that are going to be there are people that are already real cool drag queens, or they wouldn't be bringing their kids there. So I have no idea what it's really for.
I didn't know about that. I didn't know it was ubiquitous. I didn't know that there. Anyway, so let's listen to the rest of what she says.
Read a story. It was fun. The kids loved it. And then also some sort of friendly drag shows. It would be on a Sunday brunch. You could bring the kids. They'd see a show. And
yeah, those are a bit odd. You didn't see that with it. And the walk said it's not going to suck itself. It was the last one there was a protest on while they're doing striptease and putting dollars. Yeah, it's real creepy.
Drag shows.
Yeah.
Again, I must be ignorant. But I've been to, I remember when I first moved to West Hollywood, I saw several drag shows. Those are not for children.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
If that's what they're doing, but maybe they're doing
the story.
Why do kids want to see men dressed up? I don't understand why kids would want
their kids. Who would bring their kid to that unless they're hoping, like, oh, I take him to basketball since he was young, hoping to play basketball. It's like,
but that's isn't. I always again. I'm not an expert on this. I'm learning as I cover this story. I always thought that being a drag queen was all about sexuality. It was all about sex.
Well, you know how the gay pride parade is Disney now?
Mm-hmm.
It's ruined.
And so now they've but
there's a lot of things going on here. Yeah, it's
I'm really not the guy for this.
The story hour, I don't really whatever on that. I
mean, what?
People, but the show's
taking a kid to a drag show.
Yeah,
isn't it like taking a kid to a strip show?
Yes, it's exactly that. You put dollars in, they give them dollars to put in the thing.
I thought that
you hadn't heard about it.
I'm
this move to make it not like it's
just
not
hearing
sexual.
Hearing this lady say this was mind blowing to me that it's ubiquitous, and then they would see friendly drag show.
I thought that was Mike White in drag, the director of White Lotus.
There we go.
Far right conservatives left on this, and they put it together with frankly the QAnon narrative that's been out, and it was they're out to get their children. The demonization, dehumanization, and moral panic around children in our community somehow being threatened by LGBTQ teachers, librarians, performers, that is the thread that's going
through.
And when you demonize someone to that extent and you make them feel like an existential threat to you and your children, it's no wonder, again, that we get this kind of violence.
So one of the key things we're looking for at this...
So she made a direct correlation.
Wait, I can still take my kids to a hetero stripper show, right? That's still okay legally, is it?
I mean, I don't want to feel like a square. I don't want to be the old man. You still think you shouldn't take kids to strip shows? I guess I don't have kids, so
it's
I don't.
Okay, if it's drag, hetero would be.
That wouldn't be okay.
I
don't know.
It's obvious why not. I mean, it's not. It's crazy.
Okay. Well,
it's
isn't
crazy.
That anti-woman?
Well, I think.
What about Chippendales?
What kid? Who even remembers Chippendales?
I'm waiting for them to come and read at the libraries.
when did the Chippendales?
Woo, come on, Chippendales!
It's just a lifestyle choice of being a. I honestly don't want to sound like an old man who's out of touch, so I won't talk too much more. But so they pointed out to her on Twitter, this woman. She says, yes, I said this, and while we don't yet know the motivation behind the Colorado Springs attack, I think it's pretty good summation of the right-wing moral. So even though I don't know what, well, down here she says, yep, I said, oh, by the way.
Okay, the rest is more visual, but you guys get the point here that, like, this is, what are the things that they're targeting with this, I'm going to go out on a limb and say false flag at this point. What are the things that they're targeting? They're targeting guns, and they're targeting us, right? If you say anything about family-friendly, quote-unquote, brunch with alcohol and children in drag, then all of a sudden you're a terrorist. So basically, like, since we already know that they're trying to say that groomer is a bad, you know, is a derogative word or a trope, coupled with, you know, the things that we're trying to point out that are blatantly right in front of us. Is it true that you guys see that that's their agenda? There is basically equate anybody who points out that this is child grooming with terrorism.
Yeah, I think that their need to push their agenda normal is they're doing too much too soon. They're number one trying to get us afraid to go out in public because it happens everywhere. Right after that, it was the Walmart shooting. it's nonstop shootings again, and then they got to throw in their agenda of the, you know, your pronouns are very important. I think that backfired on them because we're supposed to, it's all supposed to be normalized. We're all supposed to, you know, take your medicine as we give it to you and accept it. And it backfired on because people are still living in the reality that they grew up in where the...
Well, I would argue that it's backfiring left and right, you know, right in real time, right? Like, you know, at the same time as they're having an Alex Jones trial about, you know, his defamation of basically the, you know, the cover-up of Sandy Hook, in my opinion, there's also, you know, this Uvalde shooting going on where in real time, they're like, they're getting caught in real time, you know, like, oh, wait a second. I thought you said this. Oh, wait, at first it was this. And then it was this. And then, you know, we had, you know, a guest on during the time that, you know, in real time, they were debunking this stuff. So, you know, I guess their narratives are being used against them, right? Just a second ago, we had a swimmer that we weren't allowed to question anything about his, in my opinion, gender, right? And now all of a sudden, we're allowed to question it. So that's my point, really, is that the narrative is changing so quickly and that I think that the average person is going to have no other choice besides accepting this because their own narrative is being destroyed in real time.
Agreed. Yes, I agree with you absolutely. And as Elizabeth said, they're doing too much too fast. And, you know, and they can't keep it all together to an extent that helps them, right? Because I really like and I really appreciate what Jimmy Dore said about the double bind that they have now found themselves in, right? Because now they've set it up in such a way that now if you question whether that's valid, you're being transphobic and evil and whatever else. And if you, right, so they can't question this they-them pronoun thing, but if they then, you know, turn around and say, well, no, they're not actually those pronouns, then it does lend support to what we've been saying with, like, you know, that male swimmer that was, like, 72nd place and all of a sudden is first place now saying that he's a female. And it was, you know, now another – there's been several sports where a male has been, like, really, really low in ranking. And then all of a sudden says they're a woman and now they're really, you know, they're first or second place, you know, and that would lend validity to what we've been saying, right? That you can fake your gender. It's possible to pretend to be part of a group that you are not, which is clearly happening, you know, and it also lends validity, which I think is even more important on a different level because, you know, you have all of these child sex offenders that are all men pretending to be women, you know, and there's dozens and dozens of them. And it's, you know, just more recently they've been pretending to be women and then they're more of a protected class, right? And so it lends validity on that side to what we've been saying, which is correct, you know, but then it also does put them in that nice little double bind where they either have to piss off the tyrant. Because I have no problem with the LGBTQIA community whatsoever. But there's a group in that community that's not doesn't care about that community, but is destroying that community by forcing agendas and pretending to be part of it when they're not. And so those people, you know, either get to get really mad at the media that supports them, or, you know, they have to prove that, yeah, people can fake that, and that's been happening.
Right. Exactly. And so all of these narratives are breaking down at the exact same time. And, you know, and including COVID, including something that really came close to enslaving the human race. And, it, you know, arguably still does enslave the human race. Right. So, You know,
and
this is the awakening that we've been talking about.
And check this out. As it's imploding, they are crafting another narrative to where if you speak against it, if you don't believe our lies, then you're mentally ill and we have to deal with you. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the emperor has no clothes, baby. It really doesn't. And I think, like, back with this, you know, the narrative they wanted was, you know, they really, it's like, what are they thinking? They're not really good at what they're doing here. If they hadn't come out with this non-binary thing, it would have been, you know, wonderful to rally everyone, you know, craft a new law, and really, you know, we need to get rid of these guns. If they had had him been just an angry young Trump supporter, but no, he has to be non-binary. It's kind of like they weren't thinking clearly as to how to motivate people's anger, number one.
Well, the
and wanted to,
and
wanted to have everyone
are not
a pronoun and pushing their delusional agenda of I get to pick what I am. It's like, you know, the fact that the CNN reporter couldn't hold a straight face, and they need, and it's funny, they immediately went to the, you know, he's trying to craft a defense, and it's kind of like, yeah, in the real world, that's how you think, but that's not how these people were thinking. They were thinking that we were going to buy up their new narrative, because this is what your reality is now. And then forget about all this, but just be, you know, this is the normal, and guns are bad. That, but we had to, you know, we're still
guns
we
are
still
bad. What we say
things.
Is true, right? And that's why
yeah.
I keep harping on this. You know, everybody's like all down on Alex Jones, and probably for good reason. However, I think he was right on Sandy Hook. I think it was a hoax, and that's the whole thing. Is that again? Let's just you know differentiate between hoax and false flag. False flag means it happened. Hoax means that it didn't. And so, you know, even
mm-hmm.
with Elon Musk buying into this whole, I, you know, held, a, you know, a dead baby in my arms when it, you know, when it died, you know, that's terrible. And that's true. And that's real. And I feel so sorry for him for having to go through that. What Alex Jones and others, many others, are alleging is that those children are alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and all of this stuff, he's not even allowed back on Twitter because of the feelings that he felt around this thing. And, you know, as somebody who during Sandy Hook had children who were in, you know, kindergarten and, was it kindergarten? So 2009, so it was no, 2012.
It was all kindergarten. I think it was 25
it was, yeah,
kindergarten
and first grade. Right. And so I had children that age, you know, and in a very similar situation that then that the media was portraying on the media, right? This was a very, I'm sorry to bring race into it, but like, you know, upper class, very predominantly white neighborhood, you know, at that time when I was still very under my neoliberal spell, I could not watch any of the media. I remember being on a treadmill running and the memorial service was going on in the background and I had to get up and go to the other end of the gym, the other end of the, you know, treadmill row and run there because I couldn't watch it. It was too close. I couldn't, you know, comprehend that my children could be in danger. And you know what else? I was angry. I was angry and I was screaming on the internet, just like I was programmed to do, to say, you know what, your right to have a gun does not supersede my right for my children to come home, you know, not in a body bag, you know. I was
right.
Hooked and sinker for that narrative. And once I had some distance, once I was able to see what was actually going on, once I had researched other subjects and noticed patterns in the government lies, that's when
mm-hmm.
I was able to see Sandy Hook for what it is. And in my opinion, and please change my mind if I'm wrong, that was a hoax. And that was intended to get me to feel those exact feelings.
Mm-hmm. And now, I
remember back to at what point in time did it come to air that it was an exercise that came to light, and years went by, and it wasn't debunked that it was a military exercise. They were
Sandy Hook.
Yeah, do you remember that?
I don't know if it was a military exercise. I do know that there was a big, you know, part of the government conspiracy that was a lot of actors coming together. I believe that anyway, because I know that from evidence that I saw with my own eyes, because for a long time, this like little sleepy town wasn't really internet savvy, didn't know to destroy records, didn't really think that people were going to look into it. And, and they have city records of a bunch of homes being paid off on Christmas Day the year before the shooting happened. I saw it with my, because it was so fantastic that I couldn't, so incredible in my opinion, that I, like, that can't be real. That was such a crazy thing for me to believe. So I went and I looked it up with my own eyes. And yes, the records were still there at the time. So I know that there's something going on with this. I know that there was a major hurricane, ironically Hurricane Sandy, that went through that region and all the way up to Canada. And I believe that the school was potentially closed because of hurricane damage.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that I saw with my own eyes, that I researched with my own eyes before I even knew who Alex Jones was. To be perfectly honest.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so, and the, how everybody was just pronounced dead at the scene. That's not how mass casualties work, and so on and so forth. We could go, over it forever, but honestly, if I'm wrong, please change my mind. Please bring me the, I would love to talk to the parents. Mm-hmm. It's been long enough now that they're, that they could probably talk about this and set the record straight. I don't believe what happened in court. I would like to talk to the parents. I want to go ahead.
I was speaking of the parents. Every time you'd see these things, these parents are so fucking calm. It's like, oh my God, it's scripted. You can just see it scripted. These are not real grief-stricken parents. They had their shit way too together. And that in itself always said to me that this is bullshit, knowing that they have these programs designed just to do this, to whip our emotions up and want us to demand that you take our guns. And even to this day, to talk to them, they're two together. There's no breaking down. They're not like, look like they haven't slept in weeks. And if your child was murdered like that, you would be a fucking mess. And even like this last one that we were talking about, the one in Texas, everybody was, we're getting so used to seeing these people say the same things. And it's like they have just enough fake crocodile tears, but there's not real human emotion there. Like, who has a fucking, they all had pictures of their kids. Who does that? That's the last thing you would fucking do, is go to your house. It's just like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. It's
I totally agree. And there's been so many of those instances throughout, I guess modern history. Like, what was it? God, I want to say Susan Smith, the one that drove her two kids into a lake, and there was this like mass, search for a kidnapping, right? And I think it was in one of the Carolinas, and all of these press conferences around. And I remember even as a little kid thinking that she was just like too well kept, walked in the door, which I'm thankful for because they were out playing. If my children were missing, I would be a basket case. I wouldn't have time to do my hair and my eyeliner and my makeup and my nails, right? Same thing with Danielle Van Damme, who actually went to that same school, do you remember the Danielle Van Dam case, the missing one?
I don't. Because there's maybe, so many of them.
Local. Yeah. So that, that girl went to the same school that my children went to during Sandy Hook, you know? So where she was abducted from her house and none of the neighbors knew anything, and it turned out to be the neighbor that, you know, drove her out, the 7-year-old girl.
Yeah. Here's my thought, though, is, you know, it's always been, to me anyways, that there are other things going on in the world that we never hear about. And these particular stories become national news. And it all has the same narrative to it. And now think about how many children actually are missing every year. It's like hundreds of thousands. And we never hear about those. We only hear about a select few. Does that ever make you wonder what's going on?
Yeah, you're right. And same thing with, what's her name? JonBenet Ramsey, right? That was a national one.
Yeah. And we talked about what was going on in the world that we didn't hear about because we were focused on that. But there are, you know, the milk carton kids, and they used to, there'd be so many kids missing. No one interviews these parents, and that it's kind of like those all kind of went away, and you just get these sensational ones, and that captivates the entire nation as being news. And it's like, you know, back in the day, you wouldn't hear about, it would be in the paper, but it wouldn't be like all over the world of instances of what's going on, like shootings here, there, and everywhere. Even like, you know, you go back into old newspapers and like they'd have like the race riot they had on the Lake Michigan in the early part of the century. It's only in the newspaper of the time. It wasn't like all over the place. It was kind of like it happened, that was the news of the day. And then there'd be other things that happened. There'd be over the seas things that were going on. We don't get that anymore. We get this constant, we're living in a very, very dangerous society. And I think that the whole purpose of that is to keep us in this constant state of fear, and to cripple us. Because it's almost, it's like, you know, you simply don't feel safe going anywhere. There's no, the Walmart, I was like, oh, and of course they killed themselves. So I'm like, you know, knowing what they can do, they have that voice-to-skull technology. They've got brainwashing campaigns all over the place. And they also have that program, Operation Gladio, that is designed to take the country down from within. They've done it in other countries.
Yeah.
And it's like just so obvious that that's exactly what you're doing here. And to get back to the children.
And the good news there is that, you know, even people like Jimmy Dore are like, well, what do you mean you want to, you know, shake junk in my children's face? You know what I mean? This is such an obvious grooming episode that, and there's so many of them going on at once that I really do believe that people are like, well, they're going to have to wake up. There's maybe about 3% won't wake up, but the rest are all going to be on our page.
I would hope so, but I don't know. We're under such mass psychosis. It's unbelievable. You know, he made a very good point about, you know, the Chippendales. Kind of like, that's just a no-no. That one, you don't talk about that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, here's a whole new genre of debauchery that it's absolutely okay to bring kids to because we want them to embrace this new lifestyle and not to be afraid of it. And, you know, there are actual adults out there that grew up in a questioned and was a their sexuality and were uncomfortable about how they felt. And that became the pride movement where, you know, we are people. We're just like you. We just love someone else. And then they took that into a whole new land of let's introduce it to young kids, because why would we want them to grow up feeling like this? It's kind of like, wait. You wait till the child makes their decision and grows up and wants to be whoever they're going to be. No, we need to introduce this into kindergarten. And it's kind of like, wait a minute, what are we doing, guys? This is almost, you know, as far as like what's good entertainment? Good family entertainment is to go to the library and do a drag show, book reading. And it's kind of like, is that the society that you want to live in? Aren't there other cool things to do as a family that doesn't involve sex and what you want to be when you grow up? Wouldn't you want to be maybe an artist and a singer and what? And it doesn't have anything to revolve around what your sexuality is. Sexuality is for adults, not for children. And, you know, it's just, I think they're blanketing, they're covering up who's the demon behind this. Right now it's Big Pharma that wants to sell hormones and do gender assignment surgeries to kids before they hit puberty. That's the real creature that we need to be pointing our finger on and saying, you don't belong here. Not so much someone's subculture or someone's way of life, but who's
right
trying to steal our children's innocence. That's who we need to be angry at. That's my opinion, but it's fucking clown world. Is what it is. Oh my lordy.
Lily, any thoughts? I mean, especially since you've got, like, out of all of us, you're the one with the baby, you know? And so with this new, like, I guess, bastardization, you know what I mean? And maybe it's not new. Maybe it's just the you know, this
It's new.
Co-intel pro of sorts. Well, although I think that grooming has been around for a lot longer than recent, right? Like, it's always been around, but, like, this, I guess, acceleration.
Stealing children's childhood has been, it's just been a slow, slippery slope. They've taken away, you know, the things that kids used to do would be the Brownies and the Cub Scouts and those kind of things. Now those are, you know, they took both of those institutions down.
Now Boy Scouts of America is the largest pedophile database in the world, right? Like, you know, that takes a lot because we still have the Catholic Church, you know. Lily, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
But, you know, I think, you know, and now we give our kids phones. Here's a phone, and you entertain yourself, and that's how you're going to grow up. What Lily's doing is the most, is what people used to do with their kids, was take them out, and you go camping, and you go on adventures, and that is how you raise a child, is out away from technology and things. I think Lily's got it going on, because she does some really cool things with her kids. And lets them have a real child.
Which is why I'm so interested in your perspective on this. Like, what do you think?
I appreciate both of you for saying that, Elizabeth. That was very kind of you. And I just want to say, like, I'm really, like, I'm not better than anyone. I'm just really, really blessed, you know, to be able and grateful to be able to, you know, do this with the girls and have figured out a way out of this weird rat race maze that I don't want to do so that I can be with them. So what I think, it's such a big topic. There's so much. So, you know, a lot of this began really with feminism. And I laugh that I'm saying that because I thought that I was a big feminist, you know, like in high school. My debate team was known for being these, like, crazy feminists. I mean, we had these T-shirts made that said this is what a feminist looks like that we debated in. And ironically, I have a picture when I was pregnant with Olivia. I was 18, and I was wearing this shirt because I thought it was hilarious, right, to be super pregnant and wear my this is what a feminist looks like shirt. But, you know, the older I got and the more I learned, that was the largest attack on the family unit. because it was supposed to be about equality, but it never was, first of all. And second of all, we're not the same, right? Like, equity is great, but equality is not always what we pretend that it is. You know, like, women and men are not the same. And the Rockefellers have openly admitted that they created feminism to be able to tax women and to be able to attack the family unit as a whole, right? So that's not to say that, like, you know, women need to be, like, barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen, and that's how they should live their lives. But, you know, there was a system that was working where, you know, you needed one income to survive. And so parents could be more nurturing and around for their children, right, instead of them being raised in daycares and parents not knowing what's happening. And then, as Elizabeth said, you know, like, with the phones. And I think that that's when grooming became a really, really big phenomenon in this country, was through that movement. Because I've heard pedophiles talk about how when they're looking for the children they're going to target, they specifically look for children whose family members are either unavailable because they're at work, or they're stressed out, or there's, you know, addiction stuff happening or trauma, whatever it is that allows them to have access to the child without the child necessarily telling their parents about it, right? And so, anyway.
Right, parents that are for time.
Right, you know, and they are, and they're not bad parents, right? But they're super stressed out, and they are stuck in this, you know, kind of rat race game where you never can quite get ahead, and you always feel like you're behind, but you're always gone working, you know, so that, and telling yourself that you're doing it for your children, and you are, right? Like, you want to feed them and house them and clothe them and, you know, let them have all the experiences. But the problem is that what children really need are their parents, and so they're not getting that experience, you know. And I have, like I said earlier, I have no problem with the LGBTQIA or, you know, the letters change. But I have no issue with that community or the people in it whatsoever. But I also see that community being used for agendas, right? And I've seen some gay and lesbian and transgender people come and speak out and say, you know, like, we don't even feel safe in our own community now, because it's been taken over by these, like, you know, really loud, really ridiculous people who we don't agree with, that alienate all of us, you know, to serve an agenda. And that's really what's happened. And they've gone so far even as to, like, change what two-spirit means in our indigenous cultures, because those people were not gay and they weren't lesbian and they weren't transgender either. They were so balanced within the divine masculine and the divine feminine sides of their brain that they did not marry. They lived alone, and they were so spiritually connected and so grounded that they advised the rest of the tribe, and that's why they were celebrated, and that's why they were sacred. You know, and now it's become twisted into, well, if I'm transgender, then I'm a two-spirit, or if I say I'm they, them, now I'm a two-spirit, and so you should treat me like I'm sacred because these tribes did. And that is a bastardization of the entire thing, right? Like, that had nothing to do with it whatsoever. It was not about sexuality, you know, and
it was about,
and you know, people are,
and yeah, that's what everybody misses, is that sexuality, sexual identity, and, you know, gender identity are two completely different things. And I think
exactly.
That for nefarious reasons, they're trying to combine them.
Right. And they really have, you know, and it's weird how they've done it, because they've combined so many things, not just, you know, like, sexuality and gender, but also a person's entire identity, their trauma responses, you know, tribal affiliation or not, like, all of these different things. You know, I watched recently several tribes tried to cancel another tribe and their powwow ceremony because they would not let a man jingle dance. And regardless of what people believe or don't believe, it doesn't matter. Those dances are sacred. They were created by our ancestors. They are the way, a way that we connect and pray, you know, and you don't, it's just the way that it's been set up, right? And it's not discriminatory, but in the same way that some, you know, some of our ceremonies are closed, where if you're not a member of the tribe, you're invited to the open ceremonies, and then some of them are just medicine people, and even the rest of the tribe can't go, or some of them are just, you know, just for the Hopi or just the Lakota or whoever it is. And it's not a hateful or discriminatory thing. It is sacred protocol, right? And so it's gotten really convoluted into these ridiculous, tangled up, it's like a tangled up mess, you know? And now we're involving the children. And, you know, I, 10 years ago, took Olivia to Pride because Pride was very different 10 years ago. You know, the Panic was what it was called, the gay bar. Every Sunday had family events. It had nothing to do with, like, drag shows or anything else, right? It was just gay parents and lesbian parents would bring their children, and we would, like, eat together and, you know, just kind of have a potluck and hang out. And it just happened to be in a bar, but we have this big fence and patio outside, and that's where everyone would hang out, you know? So nobody was even in the bar, and nobody was, like, wasted drunk right. either. And, you know, at Pride, there were games and face painting, and you could buy different things, like, and it was like that all during the day. And they had, like, a really, like, age-appropriate, you know, very family-oriented show. You know, that wasn't, like, they were fully clothed and, you know what I mean? And, like, the songs are appropriate. And exactly at 10 o'clock, when it got dark, they would make a big announcement and their security team would remove you if you were a minor or if you were there with your children. Like, you would have to leave. And there was no, like, you weren't welcome anymore, you know? And it was not out of anything other. Right, and it was just very normal, right? And it was out of nothing except we're protecting the minors, we're protecting the families, and we're protecting ourselves, right? Because now we're serving alcohol. Now we're doing shows, you know, that are for adults. They're intended for an adult audience, and we only want adults here. And you had to be 19 years or older to stay for some of the shows. And as it got later, you had to be 21 or older. And nobody was allowed, you know? And so, yeah, I took Olivia, and, you know, because it was perfectly appropriate for her to go. And she had a lot of fun. You know, we did Liberty Spikes one year. She wanted a rainbow mohawk so bad. And we could not do a rainbow mohawk because I was not going to cut her hair for that. And she was too little to decide, right? She was like 3 years old. So I did Liberty Spikes, and we dyed her hair rainbow with food coloring, and she had the time of her life. Now the way things are, I don't even go to Pride anymore because I don't go to events almost ever that my children aren't welcome at, and they can't go, you know, because now it's very, very different, and it does become grooming, right? Like, and I don't know anybody who doesn't support pedophilia and isn't a pedophile that would tell me and has ever told me that grooming is a mean word. Right, like they recognize exactly. that it's a very protective word, that, you know, you shouldn't be offended by the word groomer unless you are grooming children, in which case, like, you should go to hell and nobody should care if you're offended or not. You know, and so it's very strange to me how as a society we have made that the norm, right? Like, I can't entirely wrap my head around how that happened, except that it was little by little over a long period of time, you know, and that's what has happened. And it makes me really sad because, you know, I have conversations with my children all the time, and we talk about how, you know, I don't have a problem with transgender people whatsoever, and anybody can be whatever they want, but that I also recognize that there's an agenda. And that, you know, some people that claim to be trans really are not that, and they're using it, right? And so, and it sucks that I've had to have that conversation with my children and tell them, like, hey, if we're at a rest stop and you have to go to the bathroom and there's a man with a beard, you know, going into the girl's bathroom and saying that he's a man, like, you need to leave.
And I mean, I don't like let them go by themselves anyway, right? But it's just an example, like, you know, that's no longer a safe situation. And it's not because we don't like trans people, but it's because there are, you know, quote unquote intelligent pedophiles that now know that they can use that to work the system and gain access to children and access to spaces that they don't belong in.
Exactly. And that's another reason I applaud Jimmy Dore for even delving into this topic, because, you know, especially in liberal or, you know, quote unquote progressive democratic socialist circles, it's really taboo to say that there's anything wrong with the LGBTQ community, you know? And that's, you know, the same thing is like, you know, and I got into a debate not too long ago with somebody on Facebook that was like, you know, saying that, you know, it comes from Nazi propaganda. That's why homosexuals get labeled and, you know, as pedophiles, and it's, you know, and I'm like, you know, that's okay, fine. I understand its origins, but, you know, what, like, think about the Catholic Church. Like, are we just going to say that just because most of the, you know, of Catholics aren't pedophiles, that priests and the higher up don't, some of them don't rape children? There's so many lawsuits about the church and, you know, the sanctity, the holiness, right, of the Catholic Church gets brought up in all of these debates, or did. But now we're at a point where everybody acknowledges the fact that the Catholic Church, in all of its quote-unquote holiness, was in fact used to rape children. Why is it that we can't see it in this community, in this community only, right? You know, we could talk about, you know, the Boy Scouts of America. We could talk about, you know, Boys and Girls Club. We could talk about, you know, gymnastics, you know, at a college level, you know, at a competitive level. We could talk about all of these other Mormons. They were, you know, all of these things except for the gay community. Why is that?
I think it's because it's not enough to tolerate and accept them, but you must also be just like us. There is no more you do you, I do me. It's like, no. For me to be validated, you must be just like me. That's kind of where we're heading.
I don't even necessarily know that that's true, because I'm bisexual. You know what I mean? Like, community. And they're like, so what happened to inclusion? Right? Like, what happened to, and it's really virtually anybody who disagrees with their agenda is, you know, is labeled a separate entity. And so, you know, this whole idea of inclusion being the basis of this whole movement is bullshit. Because they are, you know, protecting the people who are the worst in society. They are protecting people who want to hurt children and to, you know, and fill in the blank. And, you know, political, you know, they're the first group to put on masks and, you know, promote vaccines and all of these things. It's not, you know, they've been infiltrated. And I think a lot of people are waking, again, another huge group of people are waking up to the fact that they've been duped, that they've been used. And I guess I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I love how all of their narratives, all of the things they try to do, all of the things they promote keep collapsing. You know, it's almost as if prophecy told us that they would continue to fail and continue to fall apart, and then they would refuse to retract, and in their pride and arrogance would continue to promote the same stuff that is causing their downfall, you know? And it's really a beautiful thing to watch, you know, because it needed to happen, right? And there's all these negative things, and it's important that we know that they're happening and we know what they are and we can identify them. But I think it's also really great to, you know, like you said, like you love that, you know, and I do too. And it's really great to remember that, you know, they have to be really loud and they have to do things the way that they are, because that is exactly what
separates the wheat from the chaff and wakes people up and allows them to see, like, oh, shit, you know, I want to be a good person, right? I want to support other people. I want to be loving and kind. But I took it too far, right? And some of this is not, has never been about being loving or being kind. And some of it was and became inverted. You know, I mean, just like love is love, right? Like, I support the original love is love, right? Like, two gay men should be able to, like, be happy together. Two women should be able to be happy together. If you're poly, that works for you and doesn't have to involve me. That's awesome, and I'm really happy for you, you know? And it used to be like that, and I support that fully. But now, you know, it has changed to, well, we have to include the pedos and make them a protected class because love is love, even though that's not
right.
Love, right?
Correct.
And society has become so sick, so inverted, that, you know, like that's even being promoted publicly, out loud, as a real thing. But it needed to happen, right? Because there's, we can't wake up and protect all of these children if we don't know that there's anything wrong. And unfortunately,
exactly.
Society has been so backwards and inverted, and every institution has been so inverted and backwards for so long that, you know, until it became really in our face, we didn't always see it, you know, for what it was, because our nature is to be good and loving and kind. I mean, we are of the great creator. And so, you know, it's in our nature to be kind and good and want the best and see the best. You know, and so they've twisted our nature against us to tell us that human nature is evil and bad and mean, you know, and, like, mm-hmm. violent because of what they are. And they wanted to turn us into that, right? And they want us to see ourselves the way they see, the way they are, because it's all a projection and an illusion and it's pretend. And instead of pointing the finger at them, you know, then we blame humanity. Well, you know, humans are just garbage. That's what's happened. But really, you know, we were taken over by non-human entities pretending to be humans. And so anyway, you know, without getting too weird about it. Right. So, you know, to not get that weird about it, you know, then it's just, it's all inverted. It's all backwards. It's all controlled by very sick, twisted, evil people. And so now, mm-hmm. you know, like we have to see it so out loud and so in our face. That, you know, even the most, you know, self-proclaimed liberal virtue signaling person cannot not see it, right? They can pretend that they don't. They can refuse to discuss it or make mention of it. But there's no way that people don't see it at this point, right? You have people openly supporting the protection of pedophiles. You know, in real life, out loud, like not just in their own home hiding away, but like on national television, you know, and so now people can't get away from it anymore. And they have to know that this is what's happening. And as sick and sad as that is, it's actually really beautiful because, you know, I don't know about either of you, but I know that, you know, 15 years ago, I had no idea how rampant pedophilia was and that it was involving our celebrities and government officials and every institution basically.
I thought
that
my
exists.
Mom was a crazy lunatic when, you know, I was dating slightly after my children were born. And she's like, oh, can I have a social? Can I look him up on full name? Can you get a, you know, a picture of his driver's license? Because I want to make sure that, you know, the men that you're dating aren't just dating you because you've got young children. And I'm like, oh, my God, Mom, what are you doing? Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, she knew all that. And
good
she was all on her own because her husband even was like, no, I can't see it. I don't, you know, and she fought this battle, you know, all by herself. And it wasn't until many, 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 many years later, not I think until 2016, that I actually was like, oh, my God. And then I became a Pedogate researcher. And I'm like, and you know, and even now my kids are like, no, Mom, you're just crazy, you know, but it's there. And it's the best. It is in, to quote Ty, a colonial secret.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I'm just grateful that we can all see it now so we can actually address it, right? Because if you don't know there's a problem, then you would never be able to fix it, right? And so prophecy can't be fulfilled until now, when we all know and have known, you know, for the last like few years at least, that this is such an insidious problem that, you know, like, is involved in everything. You know, now we can address it, because before we knew, we couldn't. So, you know, like, I just try to remember that, even especially during topics of pedophilia, right? Because it's like literally the most awful thing I can imagine. I think that it's worse than murder, infinitely worse, because with murder, at least you're in the spirit realm, right? And you don't have to like deal with all of the traumas and all of, you know, lifelong issues that you have to deal with, right? And so I try to just remind myself, like, okay, but if we didn't know this, if we didn't see this, it would just happen forever, right? And so, but now it won't, because now we know. And now people call that out immediately, right? Like, Wayfair sells things on one day, and that same day, like an hour later, everybody knows, you know, and they can't continue to do it that way. Or they promote things with different symbols, and everybody immediately knows, and it's the end, right? They can't use their codes anymore. And it's, you know, it says that in prophecy, too. They will be known by their symbolism.
Yep, it will be their, and it'll be their downfall. I mean, even now, like,
exactly.
You know, I just posted yesterday an article from the Huffington Post that, you know, they're finally, you know, allowed to say, I guess, in the mainstream media that there's allegations that Epstein Island and Jeffrey Epstein was a child sex trafficking ring. You know, now we're allowed to say this? I've been, you know, shrieking this from the rooftop for years now. But now we're allowed to say, now that Huffington Post is allowed to say it, that the now it's true? Like, give me a break. Like, I mean, and I'm glad people are waking up to it, but I really feel like it's hard to not be flippant sometimes when it comes to this information. So, like, really? Like, you want me to be surprised about this? Or have I been saying this for, you know, for 5-6 years now, you know?
Well, I had heard someone say that they are willing to bring this to our attention publicly to deflect from the banking crisis, the scandal that's hit the airwaves with the that Bitcoin guy.
The crypto?
That was, yes, that the tentacles of corruption, and they want to deflect from that. And I was like, that's very interesting
exactly.
That they have to scramble, and all of a sudden now this is a thing.
We just
to
hit
keep
our
90-second
mark, but I said a long time ago to that, too, that, you know, people thought they were going to get rich on Beanie Babies at one point, too, but I laughed at them then, and I laugh at, you know, crypto kind of now, but as it fades. And you know what? Make me eat my words. Set up, you know, a crypto retirement account for me. Maybe I'm wrong, and somebody will save my life. But at this point, in my opinion, I think that this is a false investment. I think we should have invested in humanity instead of, you know,
exactly.
Alternatives.
And we say it's not too late for that. Not too late for that at all.
Right.
Well, this was nice.
And on that note, we got our 60-second mark. Thank you so much, Lily, for joining me, for filling in. Thank you, Elizabeth,
thank you.
For joining at the end. And, you know, and I'm glad you did, even though you were sick. So, so thanks. And always thankful for Mom for the good news report. But please share this video if you can, we will see you next week. We love you all.
I love you.
Love you guys. Have a good week. Thanks, Lily. Big hug.
You too.
Feel better.
I hope I do. Thank you, baby.